We live in a more dangerous world in 2025. The threat of anti-Semitism, as we have seen, is very real.
So we're talking about the physical jihad, the physical struggling against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Threats of other occurrences, such as the rise in the far right.
There will come a day that we will see far more radical extremists and terrorists coming out of Europe because of lack of decision-making, trying to be politically correct. I'm sorry, but that's pure ignorance.
Director General of Asia has warned about a range of threats, be it anti-Semitism, the rise of right-wing extremist groups as well.
Just like Israel, Australia does not have a right to exist.
The government is prepared to take whatever action is necessary. Included in that is the need for tougher gun laws.
So why aren't we addressing anything here? Why not here?
When you understand the Quran and you understand that it is a takeover manual of society in the phases.
They have also had the tremendous fortune to travel the world, and as part of that experience, to learn about the goodness and beauty of Islam, how it is practiced every day by well over a billion Muslims worldwide, a faith of peace and tolerance and great diversity.
The Prophet says, the first thing you do is call them to Islam. If they refuse, then tell them Allah obliged upon you to pay taxation. In return, when enemy comes and attack your country, you don't fight. We Muslims protect you.
In the battlefield, you're giving us jizya, and in exchange in jizya, what can happen is, if an outsider attacks you guys, we're going to protect you as well.
So that's how it works. The imam under the Muslim Brotherhood is the military commander. And he tells you how to vote, and he does it all. And then if you don't flee the town they've taken over as a no-go zone, then they come and they tell you, give us money.
Do you think it's fair to kill me because I got the conclusions right or wrong?
If Sharia law states that, then it should be fair for me.
When you start seeing these imams just suddenly in Europe, in Australia, in New Zealand, in Canada, in the U.S., everywhere, saying, okay, our numbers have hit 5, 6, 7% in this country, start killing the Christians and the Jews.
And so make jihad against them.
What is your duty as a member of the Ummah now that you are also an American? It is our physical jihad duty to fight the entire earth until we enter it into the Ummah.
To be honest, for us Muslims living in the West, yes, our jihad is to establish the deen of Allah through all means necessary.
We have had a tradition of toleration. These people are not tolerating us. So you don't tolerate us, we want you out of this country. Right? Because this country is fed up with your, oh, we must be nice to everybody. Well, I'm not particularly nice to people that crossed a border, invaded another country, and murdered over 1,200 people.
We just had Benny Thompson, ranking Democrat in the House.
Madam Secretary, you and the gentleman from NCTC referenced the unfortunate accident that occurred with the National Guardsman being killed.
You think that was an unfortunate accident?
I mean,
there's a terrorist.
No, wait. Look, I'll get it straight. Then you can.
He shot our National Guardsman in the head.
Look, Ms. Chairman, will you direct the witness to allow me to ask my question?
You hate me for the sake of Allah.
I hate you for the sake of Allah.
All right.
I hate you for the sake of Allah. Every Christian, I hate you all for the sake of Allah. Any Jew, any Christian, I hate you all for the sake of Allah.
He hates me for the sake of Allah.
You hate these Muslims and the other Muslims.
Would you kill me if you got a chance?
If we're what, I would chop your head off.
Everyone was just running, and there were bullets, and there were so many of them, and we were really scared.
And then you've got the ultra-leftist police of Australia. I mean, you know, they're total globalists. It's all run by the World Economic Forum, just like Canada, just like the UK. It's the very same system. People are great. They have horrible, evil governments that just engage in mass fraud, theft of the elections. It's just, it's where we're going to be in a few years if we don't turn this around.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me. dummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot going on over here that we're catching up on. But thanks for jumping on board. Oh man, do we have a big packed outhouse. Big packed outhouse for you. Whatever that means. Folks, we're excited that you're joining us today. President Trump has a very busy day. I'll get to his agenda in just a moment. But today on this show, we're going to have the senator from the great state of Georgia joining us. Mr. Colton Moore will be on the program today. He's got a lot to talk about in regards to Fannie Willis. He was there. He was actually right behind Fannie during yesterday's Senate committee hearing that was going on. So he's got a lot to sound off on that front. We'll also be joined by Raw Egg Nationalists as well. Plus, I'll bring you an update because it looks like Australia just prevented a potential terror attack. We're going to put that out there for now. It looks like there is a group of men who appear to have beards, appear to look Middle Eastern. Apparently, they were making their way over to Bondi Beach. There are many rumors floating around online right now. We don't know exactly what was going on. All we know is that two vehicles were intercepted in southern Sydney on Thursday in connection with a planned violent attack. Now, this was, of course, the police who then rammed their vehicles and arrested seven men. I'll bring you the latest on that in just a bit. We're keeping our eye on that, though, because that is very important. Now, when I look at the photos that are posting on social, I think it's very obvious to say that these men are not natives. These might be some of Australia's latest imports, of course. So we'll bring you the latest on that in just a bit. We'll also bring you the latest on President Trump yesterday, who held his address to the nation. Now, it was kind of, I'd say it was interesting, but there's a couple key points. We'll make sure to highlight for you today, of course, so you don't have to watch and rewatch the entire thing. We definitely went through it and pulled out some of the most critical parts, I think, and I'll play that back for you in a bit. Plus, Dan Bongino has officially announced that he is leaving the FBI as the deputy director. I've got exclusive details you won't see anywhere else, of course. We'll break that down for you a little bit on this program as well. But a lot there. He announced that he was stepping away. I'll tell you who's replacing him. I'll tell you what President Trump thinks. And I'll tell you what you can expect in the podcasting world and all of this. Plus, there's new video of the suspected J6 pipe bomber. And we told you that this was an individual who has some developmental challenges. I think it's very apparent that he does. The body cam footage, we've never actually seen him speak yet on camera. There's a body cam footage that was just released by Script News, and I think it's very telling. I think it's very telling. As the FBI, DOJ continue to push this guy as the suspect for the J6 pipe bomber, I don't believe it. I'm not believing it. Maybe he was set up. But there's no way this young man actually did what they're telling us that he did. Plus, what the heck's going on over at the White House? The Trump administration continues to have meetings with Qatar. In fact, some of our top officials made their way to Qatar this week to meet and greet their officials. It's so bizarre to me. It's so bizarre. And it doesn't just end there with just Rubio and Christine Noem. There was others that also made their way. We'll discuss that in a little bit. So a lot to dive into. Let's start from the top of the show. Let's talk about what's on President Trump's agenda. We're going to be waiting, because we'll bring it to you when it begins, for the president's intelligence briefing, which is expected to begin at 11 a.m. Eastern time today. Once that begins, we'll go live to it, of course. We're also expected to see the president around 1:30 p.m. Eastern today sign an executive order. Now, we don't know the details behind that order. But of course, we will tell you, we'll bring it to you as it goes down. And President Trump is expected then later at 4:15 p.m. today, Eastern time, I should say, to participate in a Christmas reception. And then shortly after that, he's actually signing that National Defense Authorization Act at 6 p.m. Eastern time today. And then he'll be wrapping up his evening with the First Lady and participating in the Christmas reception again at 8:15 p.m. Eastern time today. Joe Biden could never. You and I both know that. He would never have scheduled that pact. But I want to bring you some key points in his address that he made yesterday to the nation. Now, folks, if you sat back and watched, it was a good speech. He highlighted and he hit some of his most popular points, which obviously are immigration, the economy, healthcare. We all know it's time for the president to get involved in that healthcare fight now, and he's ready to do just that. So let's go through some of the key moments during yesterday's speech. I want to talk about clip one, where the president gave us some overview as to what it was like for the last 4 years of the Biden regime, and what it's like now that he's stepping into this role. It's been about a year. And his plans for combating the damage that was done by the last regime. Take a listen.
I think most would agree. I was elected in a landslide, winning the popular vote and all seven swing states and everything else, with a mandate to take on a sick and corrupt system that really just took the wealth from people and crushed the dreams of the American people. For the last 4 years, the United States was ruled by politicians who fought only for insiders, illegal aliens, career criminals, corporate lobbyists, prisoners, terrorists, and above all, foreign nations, which took advantage of us at levels never seen before. They flooded your cities and towns with illegal aliens. They decimated your hard-earned savings. They indoctrinated your children with hate for America. They just released a level of violent felons that we had never seen to prey on innocent. They caused war. They caused mayhem. They caused a horrible situation all over the globe. But now you have a president who fights for the law-abiding, hardworking people of our country, the ones who make this nation run, who make this nation work.
Those are very key points, folks. As many of you guys know, the Third World dumped all of their criminals into this country because, of course, the Biden regime allowed it. They encouraged it. They flew them in. If you're wondering why they were sending out all these private planes to pull in these illegal aliens from Third World countries, it's very, very obvious. They brought the worst of the worst to this country for the exact reason we all know. Number one, they want to replace their voting base because they know that they're drastically losing those individuals. Obviously, fraud can't be relied on every single election. They also need individuals who rely on the government, people who are not going to be able to provide for themselves. That's why you'd go to these low, or I should say, poorly educated areas, and you'd pull in those individuals into this country. Now it's time to begin removing these folks and sending them back to their countries because they do not belong here. They were unlawfully brought into this country. And they do not belong here. That's what the president's up against right now. We know DHS is doing a decent job. Again, I won't tell you it's the best, but the reality of it is they're still limited in resources. You have to expand the courts. That's the reason why the Biden regime intentionally flooded this country with millions and millions of people. We don't even know the exact number. Whatever they told you, double at this point. The reality is they have to go through all of this and try to figure out a way to correct the issue. It's going to take forever to expand the courts. That's my biggest concern here. And that's the reason why Democrats did what they did. Now, it's interesting because in clip two, you're going to listen to the president detail how he's corrected the job-related issues. Many of you guys know the Biden regime actually inflated the job numbers by creating fake jobs, which we all saw. And they also did their best by taking jobs away from American citizens, and that was reflected in the numbers, and giving it to foreign-born individuals. Take a listen to clip two.
Driving up housing costs was the colossal border invasion. We have never been invaded. This is the worst thing that, frankly, in my opinion, the worst thing that the Biden administration did to our country is the invasion at the border. The last administration and their allies in Congress brought in millions and millions of migrants and gave them taxpayer-funded housing while your rent and housing costs skyrocketed. Over 60% of growth in the rental market came from foreign migrants. At the same time, illegal aliens stole American jobs and flooded emergency rooms, getting free health care and education paid for by you, the American taxpayer. They also increased the cost of law enforcement by numbers so high that they are not even to be mentioned. For the first time in 50 years, we are now seeing reverse migration as migrants go back home, leaving more housing and more jobs for Americans. In the year before my election, all net creation of jobs was going to foreign migrants. Since I took office, 100% of all net job creation has gone to American-born citizens. 100%.
That's a great stat to throw out there. If the president could stop and just completely eliminate H-1B visas too. I'm all on board for this. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We love the fact that these jobs are going to Americans, but we still have an H-1B issue here. The president also has an affordability issue here. And he's been dancing around addressing this issue. As many of you guys know, we had Mark Mitchell on the show from Rasmussen Reports. And you guys know, I love Mark. Mark is a very fair person when it comes to calling out the nonsense on both sides. And Mark tried his best when he made his way to the White House to bring up the housing affordability issue to the president. Now, at first, we heard there was really no tolerance for that type of discussion, because the reality of it is the boomers don't want to see that their houses depreciate. And I understand that. They don't want to lose out on money. A lot of people in this country would have a lot of cash completely be wiped out if we really tackle this issue the way we need to tackle this issue. And that was one of the White House's biggest concerns when Mark Mitchell said he brought this up. Take a listen to clip three, though, because all of a sudden now the president is talking about housing affordability, and this is a complete change from what we've heard previously. Take a listen.
Generating plans, a record, and it's a record that won't be beaten by practically, I would say, by anybody. Or certainly not very soon. Prices on electricity and everything else will fall dramatically. The Democrat inflation disaster, again, the worst in the history of our country, also robbed millions of Americans of homeownership and indeed the American dream. The yearly cost of a typical new mortgage increased by $15,000 under Democrat rule. In 11 months, we've already gotten that annual cost down by $3,000, and it's coming down a lot lower. Wait till you see. The numbers are going to be shocking. And I'll soon announce our next chairman of the Federal Reserve, someone who believes in lower interest rates by a lot, and mortgage payments will be coming down even further. Early the new year, and you will see this, in the new year, I will announce some of the most aggressive housing reform plans in American history. A major factor in driving up housing costs was the colossal border invasion.
They continue to point at the border invasion, saying that that was what drove up the costs when it came to home affordability. The reality of it, though, I think a lot of it obviously relies on the Fed, and he says he will be making that announcement soon as to who will replace Jerome Powell, but I think it's critical here. Also, you know, this president supported, and this is the problem I have, the 50-year mortgage. Remember, and he's posted it several times now, that in his administration he's going to be pushing for, it sounded like, 50-year mortgages. Which is good news if you want to pass debt on to your children, if you never want to own your home, which you technically don't if you're paying property taxes. I'd love to see the details as to how he intends on bringing down these housing costs. Because the reality of it is he wanted to make sure that those who are currently owning homes are protected from massive amounts of losses, financial losses. But the affordability issue is something that is going to be front and center. It's the reason why so many kids, I mean, I'm talking 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, are sitting here saying, I can't afford to purchase a home. And they're turning to radical politicians, communists, because they are the only ones really talking about this issue, the affordability crisis that we're in right now. Rents is out of control. And I can understand how that you guys want to maybe piece together with illegal aliens. Home ownership, though, he never calls out BlackRock and other companies, though, when it comes to that. He never calls them out. He's playing it safe by blaming it all on the illegals. I don't think it's all on the illegals. I would say out of the list of just what is possibly causing this massive amount of just the surge in housing costs, the last on that list would probably be illegal aliens. I'm really looking forward to see who he's going to replace over at the Fed, by the way. Obviously, it's Powell, but referring to who he's going to replace him with. It would be good to get that announcement prior to the holidays so we can either really celebrate or, maybe not. And speaking of celebration, I want to play clip five for you because the president yesterday also announcing some good news for our service members. Nearly 1.5 million U.S. military members will receive a warrior dividend check. Forget this. $1,776 before Christmas. Take a listen to that announcement yesterday.
Tonight, I am also proud to announce that more than 1,450,000, think of this, 1,450,000 military service members will receive a special, we call, warrior dividend before Christmas, a warrior dividend in honor of our nation's founding in 1776. We are sending every soldier $1,776. Think of that. And the checks are already on the way. Nobody understood that one until about 30 minutes ago. We made a lot more money than anybody thought because of tariffs, and the bill helped us along. Nobody deserves it more than our military, and I say congratulations to everybody. And by the way, we now have record enlistment in our military, and last year we had among the worst recruitment numbers in our military's history. What a difference a year makes.
And that's really critical here, folks. So it's good to hear. Obviously very good news. At least he's addressing that issue. Our service members have always deserved raises, and I can't believe the fact that we're sitting here and still looking at their salary not going up. These people are barely getting by. And so, yes, the dividend checks will help for the holidays, but folks, they deserve significantly more, significantly more. The folks over at CNN yesterday weren't very happy. In fact, Van Jones had a very interesting take in clip six when he finished watching the president make his address yesterday. Take a listen to that.
Get behind him.
Van Jones?
I am not scared of that guy. I'm not. This is the first time I've seen a Donald Trump I'm not afraid of. He is exaggerating how bad things were. That's okay. He's exaggerating how good things are. That is great for us. That is fantastic. His big threat to Democrats is he was more in touch with ordinary people and everybody else. Yeah, the Democratic elite sitting up here talking big fancy words and, you know, coming up with some new thing to be worried about every day. And he was right there with the everyday people. This is not how everyday people are experiencing this economy or the country. People are scared. They are worried. They see a bunch of things that are happening that seem completely out of control. They're seeing shootings happening all over the place. This reverse migration is happening because rather than going after the cartels, these ICE agents are going after nannies and stuff. So the Latin community is backing off. So this is the first time you've seen a Donald Trump. He sounded a little scared. He sounded a little nervous. I don't know. Maybe he was just going too fast. I don't want to read anything into that. But I think if you're a Democrat who's sitting here tonight biting your nails, is this guy going to kill us, crush us? I think this is a beatable guy next year, and I think he proved it tonight.
Very quickly.
Saying there, and I think what he's saying there is very, very important. Do I necessarily disagree with it? Not 100%. I actually think some of it, there's some truth in that. There is some truth in that. I don't think things are going well right now for the administration. I think the economy, okay, it's going to take some time for us to feel all of that, so we'll give him some leeway there. Immigration, decent. But everything else, I'm not really excited about. We, you know, this administration is currently hyper-focused on foreign policy rather than our own policies. And for me, that's pretty deeply, deeply concerning. Actually, let's bring up the Qatar topic here, because this one has a lot of people fired up. Why is this current administration so focused right now on making buddy-buddy with Qatar? Yesterday, we saw Marco Rubio and Kristi Noem, both in Qatar, meeting with officials there. And it's not just them. The FBI director also in Qatar as well. That was early this week. So why are our officials heading over to Qatar, shaking hands, and trying to make this a relationship, an ally? I don't understand it. You know, for all of us who have been in the media side of all of this, the conservative media side for quite some time, we know that Qatar has been trying to make their way into the United States to try to create some legitimacy. That has been their goal for quite some time, and it seems like they're finally making some serious way into this administration. They're buying access, and it's so obvious. You know, we talked about the plane, obviously. That was a big one earlier this year. Looks like also there's going to be a big chunk of change coming from them in regards to the Kennedy Center as well. And it's not just that. They are continuously going out there and buying access into this administration. It's right in front of your eyes. It's right in front of your eyes. Whether you choose to actually see this or not is up to you. I think this is a problem. I think this is a massive problem. I think it's a problem with all foreign countries too, by the way. But Qatar has been very persistent for years now, even purchasing its way through conservative media outlets, giving them millions and millions and millions of dollars. And all of a sudden, now, well, we have that. Top officials making their way to shake hands with these individuals. We even welcome them into our country with open arms. We've been sitting back and watching for the last few weeks now, and I have to say I am deeply, deeply concerned. It looks more like Qatar first than America first, I can tell you that much. And although I know members of the administration would strongly refute that, the reality is I don't know what the end game is here. We know what the end game is here, but we don't know how it's going to benefit Americans. I don't see there's a benefit to Americans by working with countries like Qatar. Yes, you can be friendly, but they are more than just friendly, folks. Why are three top officials in Qatar this week? What the heck does the FBI have to do with Qatar anyway? Why would Cash Patel be there? And we all know the prior backgrounds of a lot of these individuals who have, prior to making their way into this administration, have actually worked for Qatar. And again, if it was another foreign country, I would be just as critical. But right now we have a big issue here. Are we America first or Qatar first? Because it's starting to look like this administration truly cares more about building relationships, business ventures with foreign countries. And that is a major, major issue. All right, got more underway in just a little bit. I'll bring you the update regarding that Australia potential terror attack. Multiple people arrest. We're hearing numbers of 7 right now, but this just happened moments ago. So we're kind of waiting for more information to trickle in. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the final days of Christmas sale. It's 60% off right now. Some of your favorite supplements. That includes methylene blue, sea moss gummies, and shilajit gummies as well. Also, it's 40% off all the other supplements as well. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and stock up today. And remember, every purchase you make over at thealexjonesstore.com goes to help us stay up and running. And we greatly appreciate it when you help us do just that. Go over right now to thealexjonesstore.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking methylene blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of ultramethylene blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalists. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the bovine colostrum, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. All these are kick butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operation. It's a true thorn on the side of the globalists on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it in the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning. Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us. We've got our eyes on a couple of things going on right now. Specifically, though, in Australia, it looks like they may have prevented another terror attack. Take a look at the footage. These individuals were just recently apprehended. This was just hours ago. So far, it looks like possibly seven individuals, seven men were arrested. Now, obviously, if you look at these men, they are bearded. They are, it appears to be not a native. They look like they come from a Middle Eastern background. Although police have not yet released any of that information. That's just based off of the videos and the footage that's popping up all over social media right now. According to reports, the armed Australian police arrested seven men in Sydney's southwest just moments ago after they received a tip about a violent act that was going to be carried out in the city, still obviously dealing with the Bondi Beach shooting. Those individuals have apparently been apprehended, all seven of them. Apparently one of the suspects has appeared to be bleeding with a gash in his head. And, you know, that's just the information we have thus far. But again, we're keeping our eye on this because this is deeply concerning. This is deeply, deeply concerning. Looks like a police SUV had rammed head-on into one of the small white hatchbacks being driven by one of the suspects. And you could see that car as well, obviously, dealing with the damage from that. So we're keeping our eye on all things related to that in Australia. We're also keeping our eyes, obviously, here on the homeland. Now, as many of you guys know, Brown University is still searching for the suspect involved in that shooting. They took the lives of two students and wounded several others. It's been an absolute mess, folks. It has been an absolute mess. Brown University not helping out much in regards to letting the public know information about the suspect. They keep releasing footage. It's all just residential neighborhood footage. We don't see anything from this individual who's on campus. It is completely insane. Again, you don't see this person at all. This is all they have. This is all they're putting out, I should say. Not all they have, because I don't know if they have anything else. It's absolutely disturbing that this is what continues to happen, but police are actually looking for an individual in connection to that shooter. Take a look at this photo. They put this out yesterday. And as many of you guys know, Laura Loomer has been all over this. She has been saying that her sources are telling her that this might have been related to Islam. We know that there was something that was shouted out prior to the shooting being carried out. There are rumors, reports that this individual yelled at Ali Akbar. Now, this is the individual they're saying isn't a suspect, but may have actually communicated prior to the shooting with the shooter. So law enforcement is seeking public assistance in identifying this individual seen speaking with the suspect potentially. Again, if you have any tips, 401-272-3121 is the number they're giving out right now. But as you saw, I mean, it looks like it could possibly be a woman. A woman could be wearing a hijab, or it could be a woman wearing a durag. Now listen, we keep asking these questions because I think it's really important that we get Brown University on the record, because they have continuously failed to give any information regarding the suspect. Now that's valuable. I mean, they won't even tell you what this individual screamed out prior to opening fire, or even after there's anything said afterwards. Brown University, which is obviously an area that has been completely overtaken by left-wing hacks, provided us with a statement yesterday when we reached out for comment regarding the one person's name who was circulating online. All of a sudden, that person's name has been deleted from their website. This is something that the DOJ says they're looking into, actually, by the way. They were keeping their eye on this. And when we asked specifically the school, just to know some background on this comment before we get into this, they provided us with this statement. When we simply asked, was Ali Akbar screamed out prior or after the shooting? And we asked, what was screamed out? Was it Ali Akbar, like so many people are reporting? And then we also asked them the individual's name, we won't say their name, who's circulating on social media right now. It's an individual whose information has been pulled down from the website. According to other reports, they've also pulled down a lot of their pro-Palestinian information from their website. So people are wondering, if this is a suspect, why would you go after and pull down their information? Well, we asked that question. Of course, Brown University not giving us much in the way of information on that, saying doxing of a community member in the aftermath of a shooting. We see harmful doxing activity directed towards at least one member of the Brown University community. It's important to make it clear that targeting individuals, they're trying to say it's harmful. And it's not doxing. It's putting a name out there and saying this might be someone. Now, again, I wouldn't do that as a journalist because, again, we don't have proof that this person is a suspect. And you could be sued for defamation for doing just that. So I stay clear of that stuff. But the school itself just gave us a nothing burger of a statement. In fact, this is a generic statement that's being pushed out everywhere. We're seeing social media and in some news reporting, that person's name obviously is what they're talking about. They're referring to it as irresponsible, harmful, in some cases dangerous for the safety of individuals in our community. Again, it seems like they are more willing to protect those part of the pro-Palestinian movement rather than the victims. The victims, everyone who's in that room is a victim. Every student on that campus is a victim. It's 2025, folks. I don't understand how a college campus wouldn't have cameras everywhere. We live in a surveillance state. They know where you are at all times. We know this. The school not putting out any footage regarding this individual making its way onto campus. Now, there's a lot of reports about that. A lot of reports. You know, Jesse Waters has been doing some incredible reporting on this and getting some really important information out there. I want to play clip 7 for you because this is what he said yesterday on his show in regards to the camera footage being missing. Take a listen.
The president, who was a no-show at today's presser, has been heckled for years by Muslim underclassmen. She always bends the knee, but they heckle her anyway. Over the summer, radical left human rights groups demanded Brown disable their security cameras so Palestinian activists could raise hell under the radar. Did they cave? We asked. No response. It's not just Brown. The whole city is a DEI mess.
The whole city is a DEI mess. In fact, the police station is really just a conglomerate of DEI chaos. See, this is what happens when people don't qualify for positions, get those positions, and then you see what unravels. In a time of emergency, they are inadequate when it comes to being able to do all of this, to solve these cases. Now, there was another incredible report that came out during Jesse Waters' show yesterday that, again, I want you to see. Play clip 8.
Gunman, primary person of interest, a suspect, came out of that build, out of that entrance or exit, and started walking this way and passing this dumpster. If you just look around this parking lot and show everybody, there are no cameras that we can see out here, right outside of the Barris and Hawley building. You can see there are no cameras that we see visible to the eye. So that is something that has been a big sticking point in this investigation.
Why wouldn't you put cameras on the perimeter of campus so you can see who's coming on the campus and who's coming off? That's security 101. Here we have surveillance video that caught.
It's pretty obvious. I think these parents, these students actually have a massive lawsuit that they could probably cook up against Brown University. It's pretty obvious that their security failures were intentional. Because it's really hard to believe that nobody actually thought this through. One must wonder, did you intentionally not do this? Yeah, it's probably likely you did. It's absolutely devastating. And it's good news because the media is finally doing their job. You know, in the local press, we rarely find that. You know, I worked in local news, two local news stations, I should say. And for the most part, the individuals who I worked with, although they were very kind and sweet, they didn't do actual journalism. You don't get paid enough to do actual journalism. You're barely getting by. And so a lot of the times you cannot sit there and get actual quality journalists in the room during situations like this. But there was actually an individual yesterday that asked a very fair question in regards to all of this. Apparently, it's a local radio host who is accusing Brown University of somehow, some way, not having the cameras, pulling them off because they're a sanctuary city law. Take a listen to the interaction that was had yesterday when this local radio host in clip 9 decided to confront PD about all of this. Take a listen.
The camera in that building, the Brown put off because the sanctuary city law that we have, you don't want to record illegal immigrants and you don't want to provide the footage to the FBI or immigration authority. One camera in that building, it come up from your detectives, they are a friend of mine, they're angry at this investigation that these people in Brown University put the camera up, they can identify that person. You imagine how the family want to go through? Tell the truth to the media here.
We heard from both the Brown police chief and the provost at Brown who have shared that they have been fully cooperative and shared, been forthcoming with all data and evidence that they have.
I mean, you must assume at this point that they're just covering it up. You must assume. I mean, there's no other way to go about this. They're unable to answer simple questions. We're days out of this mass shooting, and they can't tell you simple answers. Those poor families who now have to deal with the fact that their loved ones are dead and the killer is still on the loose. And the worst part about all of this is PD is pretending like everyone's safe. I don't understand how they could say that. But they've gone out repeatedly and said that there's actually no threat to the public. Even though they don't have the suspect, they have no idea who the suspect is, nor the motive, apparently. So that's what they continue to push out there. They continue to say that. Now, again, I think it's pretty obvious what's going on here. Local PD putting a lot of the blame onto the FBI, but yesterday the FBI actually put out a statement through Ben Williamson. Now, Ben is the Assistant Director for Public Affairs for both FBI Director Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, and in a statement he said the FBI is not leading the Brown investigation. Providence PD is the lead. Now, they're claiming also that the FBI is just playing a supporting role, and Director Patel has surged resources based on whatever the locals request. Now, again, reminder, the individual who he had apprehended days ago, that individual has since been cleared. It's important to note that that was the FBI. It was local PD telling us that they got a tip. They handed it off to the FBI, and the FBI led the investigation to this, that individual. So keep that in mind. Again, everyone's pointing fingers, but we still don't see the arrest of the suspect. And I got to tell you, folks, it's starting to feel like that's intentional now. How do you sit here and watch what's going on right now over at the police, the local police perspective from all of us, and go, what are we doing here? When does the Fed step in? If there's no footage, we need to know just that. And I have a feeling that there is footage. Take a look at this photo that Providence Police also put out there. I want you all to just, again, look at this. You know, Laura Loomer has been on this one. And again, she continues to tell us that this individual appears to be Muslim. Again, that could be a hijab, that could be a durag. Never know in 2025. But this isn't a suspect. This is the clearest photo we've had thus far. I think we have to blast it out because that's all we have to go off of right now. Providence PD saying that this is their enhanced photo. And this individual is speaking to the individual shown. So potentially talking to the person of interest. So they're looking for that woman, that man. You never know in 2025. You can't assume someone's gender. What a world we live in. What a world. All right, let's turn to something else. Yesterday, it was announced that the FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino was stepping down. Now, it's only been a couple of months, but he's on his way out. And there's been several rumors of just that, but it looks like officially that has begun. Posted this yesterday on X. I'll be leaving my position with the FBI in January. I want to thank President Trump, AG Bondi, Director Patel for the opportunity to serve with purpose. Most importantly, I want to thank you, my fellow Americans, for the privilege to serve. God bless America and all those who have defended her. Now, I'm told through sources that he's going to be stepping away January 3rd, making his way back to the podcasting universe after a couple of weeks taking off. And he'll be back to his mic in just a bit. We expect that to happen sometime in January as well. Now, obviously, this is very controversial given the fact that he only lasted a couple of months. But what does this tell you when Dan Bongino, a man who was making millions of dollars, number one podcast in the conservative media space, is saying, I'm done. I'm walking away. Now, though, they'll spin it and make it seem like it's positive, and I'm sure Dan won't push back much and criticize those because they're still friends. I'm sure. But what does that tell us, the American people? Dan Bongino walked away from one of the biggest podcasts in this country. He stepped away from it. He walked away. He went to the FBI with the goal, going after the deep state. And after just a couple of months, he's stepping away. I'll tell you this. Dan appears to be in high spirits so far. He sounds like he's doing much better. From what we've seen of him over at Fox, when he does his Fox hits, he sounds very exhausted, but now there seems to be a bit of optimism in his voice when he does speak. I had spoken to him briefly yesterday. We spoke yesterday after this happened. I was alerted by a ex account that he had unfollowed me, and so I'd put out a statement, also reached out to him privately. So these accounts tell you when someone unfollows you. And so I was made aware that Dan had unfollowed me. Now, obviously, Dan and I would consider us friendly. So it caught me off guard a bit, but it didn't really catch me off guard because for months now, Dan and I haven't spoken. I've reached out to him several times and I have not heard a response. Now, that could be because he's busy. I get it. Probably a very busy person these days. But, you know, I said what I said. Publicly and in private. You know, on this show, I've been critical of the FBI, but I've never taken any personal swipes at Dan because I know he's a man of character. I don't doubt that. I know a lot of people doubt him right now. But folks, he's up against a lot. I don't think that he was given a fair shake over at the FBI. That doesn't mean that I support all the things he's done during his time as FBI deputy director. As many of you guys know, I was very critical when he went after Miranda Devine. Did not like that. Dan's well aware of that. The term deep state divine was inappropriate. Miranda Devine is an absolute patriot, and I will always defend her because she was the one who brought us the Hunter Biden laptop story while everyone else was a bunch of cowards, including those over at Fox News. And I'm really critical of the fact that there were no major arrests. You could tell me it's a process all you want. But we, the people, don't believe that. Why? Well, we saw what happened under the Biden regime. They arrested hundreds of individuals for taking an unauthorized tour of the Capitol on January 6th. And hundreds of them were swept into the massive, massive persecution that we saw unravel before our very own eyes. So it's really hard for me to believe that individuals who know where all the corruption is, who have written books on the most corrupt government officials, have not yet made those charges public, have not yet filed those charges against these key individuals. Yeah, you could sit here and tell me all you want that you are working up a big case. Maybe that's what they're doing. Who knows? The leaks only go one way, though. They don't come to me. The leakers go to those who give favorable coverage, who don't. And this isn't criticism of Dan. This is criticism of everyone at the FBI. You see, they go to Fox. They go to John Solomon when they want to drop a report. The tough questions are never really asked when they do just that. And that's the reason why they get it. I have been nothing but fair. I've been nothing but professional in my criticism. Or maybe I was a little mean with Telfer. About a day when I insinuated that there's some questionable behavior when he refers to his girlfriend as his life partner. But I've stayed professional considering what the two individuals leading the FBI have said previously. I don't curse. I don't yell. The worst I've ever gotten was screaming out treasonous pig, but it wasn't even directed at either of them. So right now we have this going on right now at the FBI, and it looks like the former AG of Missouri is going to be stepping in and replacing Dan. He is right now the co-deputy director. That is Andrew Bailey. Again, Andrew Bailey wasn't under the impression that that was going to be his role. He thought he was heading over to the AG's office, so that will be interesting to see how that plays out. But President Trump yesterday decided to react to the news. Take a listen to clip 10.
Dan did a great job. I think he wants to go back to his show. Yeah,
I do. A very quick response. Doesn't sound like a raving endorsement, but folks, listen. When Dan decides to go back to podcasting, he always has a welcome, open door invitation on this show. We'll give him a fair shake. We will not be aggressive. We will not be nasty. We'll be fair and balanced and let him respond. So for Dan Bongino, he always has an invitation onto the show. Just throwing that out there. And you know, I will be pursuing that as soon as he officially steps away from his position, of course. Isn't it crazy though? The FBI doesn't like me too much. Even under this leadership, I reach out for comment all the time and rarely hear back. All right, folks, let's bring you an update on the J6 pipe bomber story. There is body cam footage of the suspect. And it's very interesting because for a very long time now, we've heard that this individual was someone who had developmental issues. Brian Cole is his name. He's the individual who has been accused of being the J6 pipe bomber. And we now have some body cam footage about an interaction during a car accident that took place, I believe, in Virginia. Take a listen to clip 17 and how that interaction went.
Is everyone okay? Anyone hurt? Okay, officer. Everyone's all good?
Police responding to a Virginia traffic accident in 2024 captured these images of Brian J. Cole Jr. more than a year before federal authorities took him into custody and accused him of planting pipe bombs near Democratic and Republican headquarters in Washington, D.C.
Last thing, Judge, I was looking for a place that I could, you know,
Cole was driving the blue Nissan Sentra when he rear-ended the truck in front of him.
If you would have left some space, you would have rear-ended the vehicle. Does that make sense? Okay?
Yeah.
A police officer wrote him a ticket that day for following too closely behind the other vehicle.
Okay, so obviously that's deeply concerning, right? You hear him speaking, they have to explain to him why he was wrong, asking him, do you understand? We're going to try to obtain the full footage, of course. But this is clear. This is somebody who I do not believe independently decided to drop off pipe bombs outside of the RNC and DNC. There's more to this story that we're not hearing. It's really hard to believe that this guy is the mastermind behind all of this. They're really trying their best to sell me on this, and it's not working. It's not working. It's not working. Again, folks, I have more questions than we have answers right now. And that's really, really infuriating given the fact that this is supposed to be a very transparent administration. Again, I was told when I said that the criminal complaint that you have brought forward doesn't really sell it to me. I was told more evidence will be coming soon. Don't worry. I haven't seen any more evidence. I'm deeply concerned that this kid, well, I know he's 30 years old, but is probably being set up on this. It's very, very likely that that is the case. Now, I don't think it's intentional by our current leadership. But there's something here that we're not being told. There's something here we're not being told. That is not a mastermind of the J6 pipe bombing. That is not a mastermind. I bet you if you were to ask him, too, about his political beliefs, you'd probably find that he doesn't really have those. It's interesting, too, given the fact that, according to his family, he was a DoorDash driver. What if someone paid him money to go drive around and drop off bags outside of particular areas? I never thought of that. I'd love to speak to this guy. I'd love to speak to him. When you're a DoorDash driver, folks, keep that in mind. When you're a DoorDash driver, guess what? People all the time will pay you to drop things off outside of buildings. Was this also one of those situations? It's very, very likely that that is the case. And I'm very, very concerned for this guy. Now, again, the FBI claiming that he made purchases from a year prior to dropping those pipe bombs off that helped construct the pipe bombs. This is a guy who's into My Little Pony. I know some people say that that is a very telling sign as well. But I am not buying this. I'm not buying this. So we're going to keep digging into the story, of course, and we'll bring you the very latest as it continues to develop. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the final days of Christmas sale going on right now. Methylene Blue, CMOS gummies, and Shilajit gummies are on sale right now. 60% off for a limited time. Couple more hours left in this one, of course. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Also, all of our other supplements are 40% off as well. And when you become a subscriber, you get 50% off every single month for life. That is an incredible discount that you will get when you subscribe. And I got to tell you, it's easy to subscribe. It's good to subscribe, so you don't ever run out. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you head on over before the sale ends. It's a great sale, I got to say. All right, more underway in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
We'll be right back. Oh, Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Getting ready to kick off the second hour of the show. Thanks for jumping on with us. A lot more to dive into in just a bit. We're also taking your calls as well. So if you'd like to jump on and talk, oh, I love the Christmas music. If you guys want to talk, chat, maybe dive into a topic we've covered thus far that you want to maybe give a different perspective on, give us a call. 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. Want to hear from you, of course. So we are going to open up those lines and let you call us at 877-789-2539. All right, we got our eyes on a lot going on right now over in D.C. We'll bring you if anything breaks, of course, any breaking news. We won't bother you, though, with the nonsense. I want to play a clip. We'll do it later in the kickoff of the show, of the segment, I guess the hour. Clip of Alex Jones yesterday on with Steve Bannon. He made a couple of really important quotes, points, I should say. We wanted to make sure we brought to you. We'll play that in a bit. We will also be playing for you a very interesting clip because Ilhan Omar was confronted about a story about her son who she alleged was stopped by ICE for no reason at all. Well, she's being confronted because ICE is saying that they don't have any records of that stop happening in the first place. And it's so bad that CNN's like, all right, girl, we got to grill you on this one. And so they're doing just that. So we're going to play that clip for you as well. We'll also play this clip of another CNN individual, Caitlin Collins. She was walking around the White House yesterday, and it was interesting because she was going through the presidential, this is called like the Walk of Fame. And you'd be interested to know, apparently on their little plaques, President Trump did give each of these guys a description, and it's a very comical one on what he wrote about Joe Biden and Barack Obama. They're going to want to catch that as well. Plus, there's an update regarding a 14-year-old girl who was brutally murdered and stuffed into the back of a Tesla. This involves a man named David. He's a rapper, and it's actually catching a lot of attention. I'll bring you the latest on this one because it's quite concerning as to what's going on right now with that case specifically. So we'll dive into that in a bit, though. We'll also have Colton Moore on this hour. Colton Moore is the Georgia senator. Yesterday, he was front and center during that hearing we were bringing you, the Senate hearing in Georgia with Fannie Willis. Fannie Willis coming in with it kind of looked like the skirt of a Christmas tree. Well, she wrapped it around herself and went into the hearing yesterday dressed like that. Even had a $10,000 bag she was supporting. She was waving around. This woman's rich. How rich? As a Fulton County DA, well, apparently she could afford a nearly $11,000 bag. Must be nice, peasants. Must be nice. She has horrible fashion sense, as well as posture. Colt Moore was sitting behind her, though, during that hearing, and it was very, very interesting. We'll get his reaction to that. Plus, Raw Egg Nationals is joining us in the third hour of the program as well. Got a lot to discuss with him. He's been doing a lot of incredible work over at Infowars.com. We look forward to bringing you the very latest on what he's been up to, of course. So I'll be taking your calls in just a few moments at about 5 minutes, we'll start diving into calls, and we're going to continue those calls into the third hour of the program as well after we wrap up with Raw Egg Nationalists. So buckle up. We've got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. We'll be diving into all of this today. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have that 60% off sale going on all of our top sellers when it comes to supplements, of course. Methylene Blue, Sea Moss Gummies, and Shilla Jit Gummies as well. 60% off. The sale ends soon. So you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you stock up. Also, it's 40% off the other supplements as well. And we got to keep telling you, if you subscribe, you get 50% off. You get the discount for life. And think about how much easier it's going to be. Instead of running out of your supplements, you just automatically get them shipped to your door at a massive, massive discount. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Also, if you haven't done so, I don't know what you're waiting on. Head on over to alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. That's how you stay in touch with us, of course. Whenever those doors lock, we'll be moving on to our next venture, and that is how you keep getting the truth delivered straight to your phone over at the Alex. It's actually just alexjonesapp.com. All right, guys, we'll be right back in a couple of seconds. Don't go anywhere.
challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, canceling time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
American Journal. We're excited you guys are all joining us. Of course, welcome back to the show. Our lot more discussed. You know, yesterday, Alex Jones was on with Steve Bannon, and he was sounding the alarms. I know many of us are disappointed, very disappointed right now in regards to President Trump. I mean, I don't know how to say it. There's a couple of things that obviously I strongly feel like he's doing a great job on, and there are other things that I'm just like, this is bad. This is really, really bad. I feel like he's being poorly advised. We spoke about this yesterday as well. I don't know how Susie Wiles did a interview with Vanity Fair and then expected that to go well. Of course, giving them 11 interviews, which is absurd in itself. Anytime, and this is just like a PR perspective, I don't know how you slip up, but anytime you do something, like give someone 11 interviews, you know what happens? Well, they're potentially working on a hit piece. They're trying to go after you. They're hoping you're going to slip up, and that's why they want to buddy up with you. I don't know how you grant them even one interview. It's Vanity Fair. But a lot of people want to feel cool, I guess. I don't even know what the word would be. But anyways, this administration has been some good things, and there's been some bad things. It's been a lot of bad things. We're going to keep calling out. But you know, Alex Jones is a little bit more optimistic than I am. And yesterday he outlined on Steve Bannon's show in clip 11, he outlined specifically what needs to be done by the president to completely take down all these deep state operatives. Take a listen.
And I agree with it all. But you were asking different reporters and journalists and an analyst, was it too hardcore? Was it too dense? Was it too technical? Because we all know the facts. I mean, it was all true what Trump said. And overall, I'd give it like a B minus. And I'm not criticizing the president. He needs to create absolute existential threat, which is what it is, total urgency, and get 10 times more hardcore and say the globalist NGOs, which is publicly happening, are trying to crash the U.S. They're working with the Chinese. They're trying to take everything you've got. We've already cut energy prices by 30 to 50%. We've already cut all these other prices. I'm doing everything I can, but I'm facing major headwinds. I need your help. He needs to enlist us to get behind him and support ICE that's under attack, and I explained that this country is in a battle for its life. He conscripts us with that message. It's game over for them. We are in a historical crisis. We need George Washington. We need Abraham Lincoln. We need President Jackson right now, Andrew Jackson. We need to just straight through. So I know they're telling him, be nice, you know, don't take scalps from the DOJ, blah, blah, blah. All of that is what happened 8 years ago. Things are better now. He's way more hardcore than he was then. So, you know, let's say on hardcore, he was a 2 before. Now he's a 5. We need a 12. We need a 50, you know, above 10. It's like Spinal Tap. We need 11. He just needs to directly tell us what we need to do, directly tell us what we're up against, because those of us that study it know the technicals. He's got the Federal Reserve to do what he's supposed to, though a little bit late. He has won the tariff issues. There'll be some pain up front. But overall, America surrenders over. You want to get out from under the globalists. You want jobs back in America. You want law and order. In the areas I can control, like the border, we're down 96%. Basically nobody coming across. We've saved and already found 60,000 of the kids. And just so I wish the speech was an hour long. Great that it was focused on domestic. but also explained that domestically we're under attack. So my only message to Trump is, damn the torpedoes, go straight at them and speak directly to the people and say, look, you elected me to stop the deep state. And you see what we're up against.
You want to create the architecture of the narrative of what this is really all about, because everything he talked about were actions he's, what he inherited, actions he's taken, how he's making things, how he's improving
things. And those actions are going to go over the average person's head. They're not Steve Bannon. They're not. I have to study 18 hours a day. I dream about this when I go to sleep. It's like, if you're not totally doing this, you don't know it was all accurate. And I was sitting there like crying because I knew it was all true. But what you said when you came back was like, it's too technical. And you came back like literally said it's too technical. How do you explain it in big broad strokes to people? They already trust him. They already overrode the fraud to get him in. He just has to directly tell them that he needs us, Steve.
I mean, I think we're all on board with that. But the reality of it is, I don't know if the president is actually at that level at that point now. It's been a massive disappointment so far. And I try not to be a black pill. I really do my best not to be a black pill when it comes to President Trump. I really try my best because he's all we have. This is the only shot we have. When Democrats do get the opportunity to come back into power, they will destroy us. What you saw over the last 4 years during the Biden regime's occupying the White House situation that we had going on, folks, that's just a warm-up. It's only gotten worse and worse. We saw what happened with Barack Obama when he decided to target Americans at the Tea Party and such. They got away with that. Then January 6th unraveled. They got away with what they did there. The persecutions, they got away with it all. I mean, there's no way to say that there's no actual cases going on right now. These people are arrested, thrown in prison. It will keep happening. It will get worse. It will get worse. It will get much, much worse. You know, I like to see President Trump ask specifically, what does he need? Like, what's happening behind the scenes? But it seems like all we get is, look what I did. Aren't I the greatest president ever? The reality of it is it feels like we're just buying time at this point. At best, what's happening right now is just, we're getting by. I'm not seeing any of the changes that we authentically do need right now. And it's deeply, deeply concerning. Deeply, deeply concerning. All right, let's start taking some calls right now. Let's go to Joe. Joe, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling from Arkansas. Yeah, I listened to the speech too, and honestly, it was really nothing that I really thought he was going to touch on. Yeah. And I just don't think he realizes how much that people, the average American, really struggles. I mean, I work 4 12-hour days, and I'm off for 4, sometimes 5 and 3, and I make pretty good money, which, I mean, still, I mean, it just costs so much to live that, you know, it's hard to put anything back. And, yeah, you know, it's nuts. I just think he's so out of touch with reality and and what the average American family is really going through. Even the households that make a decent living, there's nothing extra. And if something breaks down, then that even puts you farther back in the hole. So, yeah. That's kind of what I wanted to touch on,
Yeah, Joe, you're not alone with that. You're not alone with that. I think most Americans feel that way too. And I think his polling numbers are showing just that. You know, he slumped all the way down to in the 30 range over at Rasmussen, I believe. And he's, you know, slowly creeping his way back up. But, you know, he talks about these issues when he says the economy's going really, really well. Everything's going good for us. I just don't understand where he's getting this from. The American people, although he is making critical moves behind the scenes, you're not feeling any of the benefits from the economy. And I think that in itself is why so many people are frustrated. You know, we heard Van Jones, obviously, in the open. I played that clip from Van, and I don't necessarily disagree with him. He's touting the economy, but for average Americans, they don't feel any of the benefits that he keeps talking about, that he keeps bragging about. And so, yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree that most Americans can't save up. I'd agree that most people are sitting here and struggling to get by. And maybe people are making 6 figures in this country, and they're still struggling. Still struggling. So, yeah, Joe, I would say the same thing, too. And the speech yesterday didn't even address the key issues that I really wanted to hear about. Like an update on Venezuela. I mean, I guess it's supposed to be his moment to tout and to say all the great things he's done thus far, but I think it missed a lot. Joe, what did you want to hear most from the president yesterday?
Like a plan for the future. Well, honestly, yes, he has done some good things, but I mean, we want to we want like some finalization of like the Epstein case and just, you know, a plan for the future. I mean, I know he has some good things for, you know, newborns that are supposed to take into effect, I think, January 1st. I think the overtime on, no taxes on overtime and tips, I think that's supposed to take effect in 26, right? I believe so.
Yeah, it's supposed to be coming up soon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I believe there's, you know, they're supposed to be manufacturing some cars that are getting, you know, $7,000-$8,000 cars that are good cars, I think. They're just cheaper, you know, cheap cars. So that'll be good. I mean, because, shoot, you know, the average person can't afford to get a new truck. You know, it's $80,000, $90,000. And then, I mean, that's just insane. A brand new pickup, you know, to be that much money. But, no, so I wanted to hear the truth. Like, you know, we are going to, let the information out about the Epstein case. And, you know, we are going to start getting more of these illegals out of here, because I don't think we're really shipping them out, are we? Aren't they just going to holding camps and then they got to have their day in court?
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with the system right now. And it was one of the reasons why when I was in contact with Speaker Johnson's office during a lot of the spending debates that are going back and forth, I said expanding the courts needs to be a top priority, because right now, yeah, I mean, they're supposed to get, they're supposed to have their day in court, multiple days in court, not just one, which is really infuriating. But the argument is that many believe that they are supposed to get these types of treatments, even though they're not American citizens, which is really frustrating. Really frustrating. It drags on the process. They should be quickly deported and shipped out. And that's the reason why that Garcia guy was brought back into the country, because the argument was that the Supreme Court was actually going to side with Democrats on that issue, is what I was hearing. And to save themselves from the embarrassment of that loss, they decided to voluntarily bring it back to the United States to let him have his day in court. Again, he's not even shipped out yet. So he's still fighting. Joe, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Yeah, it's just really discouraging that that is going on right now. Let's turn to Chad. Chad, welcome to the show.
Good morning to you and your crew.
Good morning.
Shout out to all everybody there. Also, I just want a quick plug on the methylene magenta. The two combined are
I love it.
Are great as a dual product. So enjoying both of those products very much. So
good to hear. That's great to hear. Thank you for that.
Yeah, calling in regards to, there's a few things, but quickly. The video of Brian Cole Jr., the traffic stop from the body cam footage, there were three things that I noticed in there for details. And I've been looking at it ever since it was released. I think it was released. It may have been released a while back, but I think it came out a few days ago. And it piqued my interest because I noticed that he's right-handed, or I always assume he's right-handed. He's writing information down on the sheet with his right hand. And I know that there was a comment made about him maybe having a tic. I think he's looking at the license plate and writing the license plate down is my take from that video. But the most important thing that stood out initially after looking, why I started looking at it, was I just wanted to see footage of him walking, obviously, because there's so much scrutiny over the footage of, you know, the bomber, or the person carrying the pipe bombs on January 5th, where it's, you know, how that person walks. And I don't see any footage. I know that there's, I think there's an extended version of that, but I think that needs to be put out.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not being put out for a good reason. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm speculating there. Mm-hmm. But that's what stood out to me the most in that video, is the fact that they didn't show him walking. And if there's an extended version, somebody get it out there. I can't find it.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to call about was just year one of what happened just specifically with the FBI. And full disclaimer, I truly believe that I think initially everything sounded great going in from the top two, you know, FBI director, deputy director. And I think that they were personally, I think that there's exploitation there of both of them, meaning that they were taken advantage of with what was below. Didn't clean out fully what was supposed to be cleaned out. When you have individuals doing things that jeopardize so much of what they've already had to, you know, deal with, that I what's going to be sad, in my true opinion, is when Dan goes back to podcasting, it's going to feel like a psyop. I'm not blaming Dan. I'm not blaming any. It's just going to feel like it's going to feel very strange. And that's going to be difficult. I think that's going to be truly difficult to try to rebalance that and get back to the norm. Now, I don't know what will be presented. Obviously, we don't know. I mean, that's to come. But the number one thing is getting wins from the White House, not for the bureaucrats. You know, we don't want wins. There's certain things that, you know, okay, we'll get wins here, and we appreciate when things come out that are good, but we're not in a cult, and we're just we the people, and we want this whole J6 thing is a major loss, and it didn't need to be, and it's coming up on 5 years, correct? So is that statute of limitations in effect there?
I'd have to ask an attorney on that front because I do not know. But yeah, I know we're coming up on it. You know, that was the problem that we had with a lot of the other charges that were rushed through in Virginia. If you remember, you know, that was the James Comey stuff. It was coming up really tight on that statute of limitation within days. And so they had to file charges to kind of push it through the courts. Gave them a 6-month extension, which is the good news at least. But again, they're up against that. And that's the big problem here. That's the big problem here. Now, again, when you ask questions, because I ask a lot of questions, I'm told that that they're still working on all of this, that we're going to see charges soon. They don't ever give you a deadline, though, so I will never sell you on that dream. And, you know, Chad, I want to also get to the Dan thing. And he said, you know, it's going to feel like a psyop. I have extended an invitation to have Dan on this show, and we'll ask him the tough questions if he decides to come on. You know, we'll be respectful, but I have personally extended that invitation to him, and we will ask those questions as to what happened. I'm sure he's not able to talk about a lot, though. It's usually how these things work. But I'll try my very best to pry for some information, because I think it's fair to ask these questions. You know, it's obvious that I believe he even said, like, the things that I've seen, and he kind of made that kind of dramatic statements. I think it's obvious that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And I don't know how you get back to the microphone without disclosing some of that. Because I think most people are going to believe what you just said there, that that's what it's going to feel like. And again, we're not saying that it is with him, but that's what it's going to feel like. So he's got to answer a lot of tough questions. Yeah, go, Chad.
The election aspect of all this, I truly believe that J6 is tied into election. Mm-hmm. And I think that election fraud and exposing it is extremely important. I don't know if you remember this quote, but I'll quote. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Joe Biden
2020. Yeah. So I think, you know, here's another thing with Mark Mitchell. I really appreciate what he's doing and what he proposed as a plan for turning America around. I'm curious. I can't find anything, but I'm curious if he actually what he feels about Susie Wild's recent statement in putting Trump back out on the road to campaign. I think that's one that maybe needs to be polled and see what we think about that, because he's a busy man.
Yeah. Taking a note right now, and I will ask Mark Mitchell for that. I actually just invited him on the show for tomorrow. So, Chad, I will try to get him to answer that question for us. Yeah. I would say that was really telling to me when she said, oh, yeah, he's going to be doing like he was. I think she said she compared it to his presidential campaigning, if I'm not mistaken. And that's concerning, given the fact that he has, like, one of the toughest jobs in the country. He's going to also be hitting the road and trying to campaign for these Republicans, these spineless Republicans who don't do anything, who haven't done anything to codify his agenda. I mean, I know he's desperate, but, gosh, that's a rough one to take up. Chad, thank you for calling. I appreciate it, of course. And we will definitely reach out to Mark about that, because we will try to get him on the show even tomorrow. So we look forward to that. Thank you for calling in. Let's turn to Sean the Mailman in Rhode Island. Sean, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm out on my route. I do like 11 miles a day. I'm 1 mile, maybe 2 right now, because it's kind of early over here in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. But just calling about the state of Rhode Island. And mm-hmm. also, I did have a couple things to say about the Trump speech. But the main thing about Rhode Island is this is like one of the worst possible states that anybody could ever want to live in. The gun laws, the... there's a mayor that's running for the Providence seat next year. He's a convicted pedophile, which I can't even believe they would even let this guy get on the ballot. The whole state is DEI. I even went to my nephew's Christmas concert, and the first song they sang was something about rainbows. And you can just see the kids, like girls dressed up as boys. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I feel like you get that vibe when you listen to their press conferences, that it is a DEI cesspool over there in Rhode Island. It's sad. It's sad. You know, the whole, I'm a New Yorker, and so everything north these days has just gone completely woke and has abandoned any type of conservative values, and you're seeing it play out. You're seeing it play out. It's devastating. You know, my advice for everyone is if you can leave, but then again, like, who's fighting these battles then locally? I mean, that's the reason why I left New York. I saw it getting overrun, and I was going to run for office, but everyone I was speaking to was a part of the cesspool. They were part of the problem. They didn't want to admit it, but they were a part of the problem. And so, yeah, Sean, I would say that it's a rough one in Rhode Island and so many other states right now up north. I don't know how people do it. I truly, truly don't. And while we sit here and watch these press conferences, I don't know how these people aren't embarrassed every single day of their lives. They have nothing to say. They have nothing of substance. They can't even answer basic questions from the media, from the people. I mean, this is what's happening. And it's good to see. The one positive thing here is it displays how we were right about the DEI angle to all of this, how DEI has elevated those who are unqualified for positions into this public space. We saw it, sadly, with that Islamic terrorist attack that took place in New Orleans. Obviously, the head of their police over in New Orleans is a DEI hire as well. It's a female. She was absolutely just uneducated on the issues that were at hand. And so, yeah, I'm just on board for just exposing all of this, but it's sad that it's done at the expense of these types of victims, these victims who have lost their lives. And they all just sit here and they give you nice little sob quotes, but when it comes to actual trying to find this guy, I don't think they're actually trying to find him right now. So Rhode Island is an absolute mess. Sean, you got about 45 seconds in case you had anything you wanted to add to that.
Plug the methylene blue. That's one of the keys to my day. I start my day with three full droppers of the methylene blue. I've been on before, and Alex gave me a shout out in one of the commercials that they put together. But yeah, I love the product. My wife actually gives me a hard time because I literally have something from the Alex Jones store coming in basically every couple days, if not every week. And VIP member, I don't know if you know, because I know you weren't with InfoWars a couple years ago, but I have my Alex Jones Bad Santa sweatshirt that I'm proud to wear, but I'm not allowed to wear in family times because my whole and all my in-laws are all crazy leftists, like lunatics.
Sean, you're not alone. I love my family members, but man, oh man, you know, my mom always tells me when I come home for the holidays, she's conservative, but she'll say like, oh, don't do it, Brianna. I mean, it's the perfect time to do it. So I always do it anyway. I'll say, oh, no, we won't bring up politics, but do it anyway. You might as well. You might as well. Sean, thank you for that. We appreciate it. We love that you're loving the products over at the alexjonesstore.com as well. And, hopefully your wife could open up a box and start trying it too, so she won't get too upset with all the orders that are coming in. But thank you also for all the incredible work you do for our postal service. As many people know, this is probably a rough time of year for you guys, so we greatly appreciate it as always. So thank you for calling in, Sean. We appreciate it. Everyone is on hold right now. Stay put. We're going to be speaking to Colton Moore in just a bit. It might be a bit of a hold line, actually, because then after that, we have Raw Egg Nationalist as well. So I'll be trying to dip in and out and take calls here and there throughout the rest of the show. But folks, you know, buckle in. It's going to be a little bit of a longer wait time, of course, but we greatly appreciate you calling. So hold right there. We'll be right back with more.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said,
This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. It dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us, of course, for the second part of the second hour. All right, we've covered a lot thus far. We still have you guys all on hold on the phone line, so make sure you stay put because we'll get back to calls in just a bit. But I wanted to talk about what we were dipping in and out of yesterday. As many of you guys saw, Fannie Willis made her grand appearance yesterday in front of one of the Georgia Senate committees. Now, she had a lot of explaining to do. As many of you guys know, she's been accused of a lot of corruption between her boyfriend, and a lot of other things. She led a political persecution. Thankfully, she failed. But just from, okay, let's get a little girly here. That attire, I would say she probably stole that from a Christmas tree. That looks like the skirt of a Christmas tree. It's not exactly a fashion statement, but she is no fashionista, as I would say. Also, she was sporting a, in case you guys care at home, a nearly $11,000 Louis Vuitton bag. I wonder how she could afford all of that. That's quite impressive. That's quite impressive as a county district attorney. Now, folks, she was grilled on some really, really key points yesterday, specifically, obviously, her relationship with Nathan Wade, which was her, we don't know if they're still together or what the status is, but Nathan Wade was the individual who she appointed to be the special prosecutor in that RICO case that failed miserably, and thankfully it did. She was asked this particular question in clip 16 about billing, because apparently she allowed Nathan Wade to bill for a massive amount of hours per week. And in case you're wondering who pays the bill, by the way, it's taxpayers. Take a listen.
I don't review those documents, so you're asking me to look at documents that I haven't for the first time. What I can tell you is that I allowed Mr. Wade to bill 160 hours a week, and then Mr. Wade would be the first one in the office making sure that my staff arrived. He corrected their behavior. They thought that 8:30 meant 8:30. He taught them that 8:30 means 7:45.
So he did his job and was able to bill 160 hours per week. That is insane. Insane. Joining me to discuss is one of the great senators from the beautiful state of Georgia. Colton Moore is with us today. He's also running right now to fill Marjorie Taylor Greene's congressional seat, the 14th congressional district in Georgia. And he joins us now to discuss because he had the best seat in the House yesterday, Senator Moore. You were right behind Fannie Willis throughout it. You probably had her shook. She obviously knows who you are. You're one of the very few people that are trying to pull for accountability in the state of Georgia. So I'm sure she was loving it. Of course, but she seemed very uncomfortable, although she had poor posture throughout the entire committee hearing itself during her testimony. We were all wondering the control room, even the guys, like, lady, sit up, be respectful. The entire testimony, she was just disrespectful to your colleagues. What did you take away from all of this?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, from the time she walked in and she had, I mean, we've always said she's the Atlanta Mafia, and she definitely came off as that Atlanta mob boss. Walking into the committee hearing, when she sat down and she looked behind her and she saw me, she had an absolute freak out. I mean, the woman was stunned. She sized me up and down, and she called over her personal bodyguard to come over and sit right next to me. And I said, that's no problem, Miss Willis. It'll be no problem. He can sit right here. Welcome, sir. She was very shook up by my presence there. But you got to remember, I mean, for 2 years, I've been calling for an investigation into defund Fannie Willis. I mean, I was even kicked out of the Rhino Republican caucus in the Senate for putting so much pressure on them for them to do their job and investigate Fannie. This is the first time she's finally appeared before the state Senate, and we learned some pretty fantastic things. I mean, stuff we had already assumed, but we finally got some proof on. You know, Fannie always claims that she's the queen of RICO, but in reality, she's running a RICO market herself, because the same day that she releases letters to the governor and the attorney general calling for them to retain all of their information was the same time that Jack Smith is appointed. It's the same time that people in high level places of the DOJ are leaving the DOJ and working for Alvin Bragg. I mean, Nathan Wade, another thing, was spending tens of thousands of dollars to coordinate with the January 6th committee, and Fannie Willis had no idea that that money was being spent or that's what he was doing. On the same day that all of this starts with this whole conspiracy around Alvin Bragg and Jack Smith, Nathan Wade is on the phone with the White House for 8 hours. 8 hours. And Fannie doesn't understand why. She doesn't know. And anytime she was pressed on any of this, all of a sudden her response was, the only reason why you're asking that question is because I'm a black woman. Well, that might work from wherever she comes from, but here in Georgia, we operate a little differently in race relations, all right? We're all one blood, we're all Georgians, and that whole race-baiting argument doesn't work like she may think it does. I mean, obviously, Georgians aren't taking that very seriously. And the other thing is, which is mind-boggling to me, Fannie Willis, in this account that we've just discovered yesterday that nobody knows how it was funded or why it was used to spend money out of, to hire Jeff DeSantis, not to be confused with Governor DeSantis, but this Jeff DeSantis guy has worked for Kamala Harris, worked for Joe Biden, worked for Charlie Bailey in Georgia, and was working for her in public relations. And as soon as she drops the letters and starts this indictment against President Trump and the 18 others, they start tracking her earned media earnings. And she has earned $600 million in media, that's how much money she would have to spend if she wanted to gain that much coverage just since this case started. That's absolutely astronomical to use taxpayer money in such a corrupt way, try to take the way of the liberties, and then the cherry on top for her, she was just tracking and trying to get more and more media attention for her own personal gain.
Okay, let's break that down a little bit, because $600,000 is insane. Now, that's something that's being footage. Yeah, that's being the taxpayers are covering that expense, and that's to land more media coverage. Is that correct?
Okay, yeah. So we have an account that we don't know where the money came from, but it was written out of an official Fulton County District Attorney's account that used to pay for the media research to track how much value she was actually gaining for her own name, Fonnie Willis, not Fulton County District Attorney's Office or anything that, her own name. And that earned media. This isn't actual money that she spent. This is how much value she received for promoting her own personal brand.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And you could feel it when you were watching her throughout all of this, that this was all about personal benefits to promote herself at this point. And she took down a lot of people who I feel so bad for, people who never even met the president, were wrapped up into that RICO case. Then there were other incredible patriots like Jeff Clark, who were also wrapped up into that case, who literally never sent the letter that they accused him of. And they sat there and they tried to tarnish his reputation and tried very aggressively to go after him. The expenses, the damages that these people have to pay for, I mean, their life savings completely wiped out just to defend themselves in this case. And this woman has zero empathy at all for these people. And I know earlier you cited that there were 8 hours were taken up on a phone call with the White House. Was that also billed to taxpayers? I know there were several hours that Nathan Wade did bill taxpayers for. So was that phone call with Nathan Wade in the White House?
All of this was taxpayer money. Now, to your point about the victims, essentially the 18 people who were indicted and had to go through, and I mean, people were having to sell properties, mortgage their houses. The state Senate has passed legislation that allows for these people to get all of their money back and attorney's fees as well. So, you know, Fonnie Willis, Fulton County, they're ultimately going to have to pay all of this money back to these individuals when that is brought into effect. You know, I don't know if justice is served yet. In my opinion, Fonnie Willis needs to come back. Nathan Wade needs to come before this committee. Jeff DeSantis needs to come before this committee. I mean, the connections that, and Jeff DeSantis has made hundreds of millions of dollars through Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. He was, in my opinion, really the plant of the White House in Fonnie's office to coordinate with the Alvin Bragg, the J6 committee, and Jack Smith. And they were all running a straight RICO to try to take down President Trump and anybody else who was on his side. I mean, think about the chilling effect that it had on every other legislator's voices or even everyday Americans. People were afraid to speak out against the election because what is Fonnie Willis going to do? Is she going to say, I'm going to jail because I'm part of some RICO? I mean, think about it. Some of these people had never even made it to Fulton County and she was charging them because she said it was a RICO case. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely ridiculous. And you mentioned the Senate bill. Does that have the support of the governor in Georgia?
You know, I certainly hope so. If he wants any face at all. Yeah. So
that would be good. That'd be great to hear. I also want to get to the point of a lot of us, when we were reporting on what was happening in Fulton County, believed that Fannie Willis was meeting with the White House. And there seems to be some proof of that that has popped up. And I wanted to see if you guys have anything else on this, because, you know, there's logs that suggest that she did meet with the Vice President of the United States. Have we gone anywhere with this? Have we received more information? Because she's denied this in the past, but it seems like there's a lot of proof here that suggests that she actually did take meetings.
Well, I mean, does she have to be there in physical person, or does she just leave Nathan Wade on the speakerphone for 8 hours, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she made trips to D.C. Tens of thousands of dollars was spent coordinating with the J6 committee. I mean, it is very clear and evident to, I think, any reasonable person that there was coordination with the White House. I mean, look at the dates. How is it coincidence that Jack Smith and the resignation from the DOJ, all of this happens literally on the same days? That's coordination.
Yeah. No, it appears to be that way. And, we'd love to see more information on that. I mean, we've been talking about this for years now, and I know she continues to deny it, but it's pretty clear that this was happening on several fronts. I mean, you outlined Alvin Bragg and others as well have all been on this for quite some time right now. And it's clear that there was some type of communications, but it's unfortunate that the J6 committee just happened to hit mass delete on a lot of the key evidence that would tell us if they were speaking or if they weren't speaking. I mean, we had the chairman, Barry Loudermilk on just a few days ago, and we asked him these key questions, and a lot of even the footage has been released, deleted, from the J6 committee and the surveillance footage that day. So this is really frustrating. We're constantly having to work our way behind on all of this, but, you know, there are some signs of hope here. So let's be a little optimistic. Let's turn to this story. The DOJ on Friday filed a lawsuit against Fulton County, Georgia, in an attempt to obtain those records from the 2020 election. Now, this is a bold move being made because, again, folks, all of this started with a lot of allegations that Fulton County was experiencing a lot of corruption back in 2020 when it came to their elections. There are people who I've spoken to on the ground in Fulton County who believe that a lot of these records have since disappeared, that they no longer have a lot of these ballot stubs and these signature envelopes that are being called into question here. What do you make of the DOJ's attempt to get access to all of this?
No, I think they've got every right to, and I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, go back to the phone call with Fani Willis. You can make this connection here. Mm-hmm. I mean, the phone call of the 11,000 votes, the whole key to Fani Willis's case, what people don't realize is literally sitting right next to the Secretary of State when this phone call is made is 14,000 affidavits of fraud from citizens all across Georgia who signed with the threat of perjury, the threat that they could go to jail if they were found to be lying, that they saw election fraud. So all President Trump was asking for is go open up the first three boxes over here, investigate that fraud. I mean, Fani Willis always likes to say, oh, they're trying to overturn the election. No, it was very simple. They were trying to question the integrity of that election, and then you stop them from doing that by trying to put them in jail for the rest of their life. The DOJ, I'm super excited they're coming to Fulton County, but you got to remember, too, this election fraud, while it was big in Fulton County, it wasn't just there, right? Floyd County, which is part of my district, extreme election fraud there as well. A lot of proof of it. It's scattered all across Georgia. And I tell you what, we have got to get to single day voting and paper ballots in this country because the machines, they win. Artificial intelligence is too strong. If you want the humans to be in control, we've got to get to paper ballots.
Yeah, and that's something that we're disappointed with on a federal level is not being pushed more aggressively. We're watching as the president continues to say this. But unfortunately, right now, in both the Senate and the House, we're not really seeing much momentum on that front. And I think that's really, really important. You know, Senator Moore, I wanted to ask you as well. I know that, you know, sadly, we're losing the congressional member who I've loved dearly over the years, Marjorie Taylor Greene, stepping away from her seat right now. But you have decided to run for her seat. So give our audience some insight as to what you're looking to accomplish with this congressional run.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately fill that void. I mean, there are a few people who have put out as many Marjorie Taylor Greene signs as I have across the district. It's extremely saddening to see her resign in this way. But ultimately, Northwest Georgia is one of the most conservative places in the entire country. We can't afford to send some rhino up to D.C. that's just going to blend in with the curtains. I mean, I've been the Trump's number one fighter in the Georgia legislature. I want to make sure that he gets some congressmen up there that can fight on behalf of his agenda and leave a great legacy over the next 2 years. I mean, I would love to see, we're just talking about elections. I want to see a mandated single day election from the federal government. Why have it in November? Just put it on, you know, July 4th. We all go vote and shoot off fireworks and take the day off and vote for America. I think that would bring in some great patriotism. But ultimately, the number one issue for everyday Northwest Georgians and across the country is affordability. You know, the two most expensive places are the gas station and the grocery store. And we've got to continue to fight to stop inflation, quit sending all this money to Ukraine and elsewhere. I mean, just my home little county of 15,000 people, if it got its fair share of the money that's been sent to Ukraine, it would have nearly $15 million. I mean, when you start putting things like that into perspective, and hopefully I can articulate that in Washington, you know, we can represent Northwest Georgia well.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to this because I know you've been a fighter for quite some time now. We've been watching you for a couple of years, so we're excited that you're running for MTG's seat. And we wish you the very best, of course, for our audience. If you want to learn more about his campaign, you can head on over to ColtonMoore.com. Senator, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate your time as always, so thank you.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. All right, folks, we're going to continue taking your calls. I know a lot of you have been on hold for quite some time now. So let's turn back to your comments. Let's turn to Tim in Seattle. Tim, welcome back to the show. Tim in Seattle. Hold on one second. Tim, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Brianna. How are you? Good morning.
Good. How are you?
Doing okay. I just wanted to ask the right wing to figure it out. I mean, we're getting led astray by PSYOPs and paid politicians for narratives and whatnot, and we're just seeing it all. It's rather frustrating. So I think we should set down the PSYOPs, especially with the whole January 6th pipe bomber thing. They arrested it. They know it's a CIA agent. They know it's Capitol Police agent. But they're going to throw this black guy, who obviously is innocent, and they're going to try to shove it down our throat and accept it. And if we accept that, then we have to accept every other lie that they give us from here on out. So it's either we stop accepting the lies that they give us, or we just literally throw the white flags up and ask the deep state to be polite and show us mercy. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
Well, thanks for calling, Tim. You know, it's crazy because here on InfoWars, obviously, we've challenged this narrative that this is the suspect who's responsible. We've read through the criminal complaint. I tell you, there's nothing really there that I think of substance that truly pins this on this guy. And I was told when I asked, because, you know, I asked tough questions, when I asked, you know, what else do you guys have on this guy? I'm told that you're going to get more information. And so, yeah, I'm not buying it when it comes to this being the mastermind behind J6, the pipe bombing situation. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. And the fact that he is, according to his family, someone who does DoorDash also has me concerned. Because, again, he could just be someone who just picked up these things because he was told to do so, paid a couple of maybe $100 off in cash and was like, all right, I could use the money and did it. I mean, that's me speculating here. But, again, yeah, I just don't think that we go along with this narrative because it doesn't seem to make sense. And we haven't seen videos of him walking. I'm sure we'll have that soon. But again, yeah, I would say Tim spot on. Again, we need more information on all of this. And, you know, the old guys before they stepped into this agency all believed you when they thought that this was a government operation. Now all of a sudden it's changed. No surprise there. Thanks for calling and waiting on hold, Tim. We appreciate it. All right, let's turn to Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
You know, the other day, we all had this four people arrested, and they were arrested for planning to bomb on New Year's Eve here in Southern California. Well, now, last night, actually 4 a.m. yesterday morning, 16 members of a local gang linked to the Mexican Mafia were arrested in a sweep here in San Gabriel Valley of Southern California. The gang is called Puente 13, and if you wonder where the San Gabriel Valley is, I'm sure they're from La Puente. You can look that up, and you'll see basically where it is, about 20 miles east of Los Angeles, 20 to 30 miles, depending on what part of the valley you're in there. But they served over 20 arrest warrants. They picked up 16 people, and, I mean, they got thousands of M30 fentanyl and car fentanyl pills and fentanyl powder and all this kind of stuff. And for those that don't know, the car fentanyl is a synthetic opioid that's 100 times more powerful than fentanyl. So anyways, if you see their photograph, the arrest photo of these 16 guys, it's got the same stripe over their eyes, the little stripe, you know, like in custody or arrested, the same kind of photography they did for the other four, only this time it's 16 people. A couple of them are already dead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's all concerning. I actually didn't even see the story, so you put this on my radar, Tim, so thank you for that. Yeah, it's a lot going on. Actually, it's up to 5 arrests now in that left-wing terror plot, the alleged left-wing terror plot. Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty insane, but we've got our eyes on this. I'm glad you brought that story to our attention, Tim. Thank you for that. My gosh. It just seems to get worse and worse and worse. People that have come into this country. Tim, thanks for calling. Thank you for staying on hold. We greatly appreciate your time. Let's go to Marcus. Marcus, what is on your mind?
Hello, Brianna. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I don't like this blackpilling of President Trump. I think he's doing wonderful work, and you've got to understand that there was 4 years of people in power which broke a lot of things, and there was before that, there was half of the government, which was arrayed against Trump in the first administration. So what you've got is continued activism against him in every form possible. And he is doing such wonderful things. I think that this is the man. I wish he was still going at 100 miles an hour like he was when he started. I think that there's a lot of lawyers in deep state that have been whispering in his ears and saying we can't go this fast, can't do this, can't do that. But as far as him personally, he is a wonderful president. And I can't stand people just constantly bashing him. It's like I can't even listen to Harrison anymore because I know where he's going to go. He's just his hatred is just as clear and present. And I don't like hearing that. So I wish you guys could put a check in yourself about that.
All right. Well, Marcus, hear me out, right? I give balanced coverage, so I think I cover the good and the bad. And I think it's fair to be critical. You see, here's my thing, and I'll let you answer it because I'll give you like a minute on the other end to answer. But on my end, I've covered extensively all the good things he's done. We've encouraged him to continue doing great things, and we've kind of put our footing in. But this is going to be an opinion. And so I can't sit here and tout everything that he's done as good, right? Because I continue to see him supporting more foreign deeds rather than American. We continue to sit back and watch him as he is spending more time on taking meetings with foreign officials. And that's concerning. Yes, okay, he's done some great things in the economy. We outlined that. Immigration, we've outlined that. But when you talk about the people who have infiltrated into the administration who are withholding, and I would say holding up the greatness that he could possibly be doing, he has not yet gotten rid of those people. I mean, how long do we have to wait before we start going, all right, where's the changes? You know, we're told when we ask questions in regards to the personnel changes that are being made internally over at agencies like the FBI and the DOJ, we're told, oh, just we can't talk about it. But, you know, the woman who's prosecuting the J6 pipe bomber, the alleged J6 pipe bomber, is an individual who has committed, according to several people's allegations, she has committed, I would say, treasonous acts. She has brought forward pieces of evidence that she claims are evidence, which are manufactured. We saw what she did during the Proud Boys trial. We also saw what she did to General Michael Flynn when the charges were supposed to be dropped. She decided to, they say it was a mistake, put the wrong attorney ID information in there to withhold those charges from being dropped. But these people are still in key places. You got to purge them. You got to get rid of them. And I know he's going to sit there, or the people in these positions are going to say, oh, well, we can't just do the firings. But folks, you have to. Marcus, I'll let you have about 30 seconds to respond to that.
Okay, that just absolutely proves my point. And what I'm saying is that there's a lot of people in the administration which are going to say, you know, Trump's going to be out of office in 4 years, and we're going to have that same, these people come after us again, we can't do anything. So what I would ask from you is that you, when you go to these press conferences, you ask when President Trump is going to fire Bondi, because that is a big problem that we have.
Yeah, I don't think it's even on his radar to fire her right now, honestly. He keeps saying that he likes the job that she's doing. And do you like Marcus? Sorry, we have 10 seconds now.
Okay, just one last thing. Can you look into not repeating yourself? I mean, I know that it's like an exclamation point that you put on things, but...
I will do what I want to do, Marcus. Thanks for calling in, Marcus. We appreciate your time. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We got more to discuss in the third hour of the program. We'll be right back.
Remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported, love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets it in 2 days. The rest three, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like four. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off on the Ultramethylene Blue, on the Shilajit, on the Irish Sea Moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong, you know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you who have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexshowstore.com. Make the decision now. Get our Ultramethylene Blue, get our Shilajit, get our bovine colostrum that's amazing. Experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship, but I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful beacon of truth on the air, a 360 total win-win at thealexshowstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at infowarsstore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key. You're everything.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
That you're all jumping on with us today, of course. A lot going on over here. Raw Egg Nationalist will not be joining us today. I'll be having him in the program tomorrow. He's got some snow, which is causing some power outages in his area. So we'll bring him on the show tomorrow. So don't you guys worry, of course. We'll be taking your calls as well in the third hour of the show. So give us a ring if you haven't done so already. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. If you'd like to join the show, feel free to do just that, of course. We'll also be keeping our eye. The president is supposed to have his intelligence briefing in just a bit. So when that begins, we'll go straight there because we want to see what's going on with Venezuela. Venezuela is going to be a very big story over the next few days. And I'm interested to hear what the president has to say about just that. So we will buckle up and keep our eyes on that. I've also got a very interesting story about Ilhan Omar. Yeah, she's getting called out for being a liar, and it's really bad. It's really bad because it's happening on CNN. We'll play that clip for you in just a bit. I can't believe that CNN is even on board with all of this, but that's what's going on right now. Ilhan Omar claiming that her son was stopped by ICE. ICE came out a couple of days ago, so we don't have a record of it. And now CNN stepping in and saying, all right, lady, explain yourself. So we'll discuss that in just a few moments as well. But a lot more happening too. I wanted to bring you an update. It's in regards to, let's see, Caitlin Collins. We're going to play clip 13 for you because Caitlin Collins is walking around the White House and she's giving you a rundown about the president who has created a lot of truthful plaques. That's how I'll put it. Truthful plaques over the presidential. I think it's called the Presidential Walk of Fame, or it's something related to that is what he's named it. But it's been very interesting because in clip 13, apparently he writes his own plaques for people like, you know, Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Take a listen.
So these new plaques have just been added to the so-called Presidential Walk of Fame. They almost read, some of them, like Truth Social posts, including the ones under President Obama's that says he was one of the most divisive political figures in American history. Under President Biden's, it describes him as Sleepy Joe Biden and also says that he was the worst U.S. president in history. There are some that are nicer, including under Ronald Reagan's, for example, where President Trump says at the end that he was a fan of Trump's long before he ran for president. The White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt says the president actually hand-wrote some of these plaques himself.
Oh, you gotta love it. Sleepy Joe. Sleepy Joe. I mean, it's incredible. This is exactly how you'd want a plaque to be written and represented properly, right? Because he's gonna sit here and they're gonna write all these fluff pieces about how Joe Biden was president of the United States when he really wasn't president of the United States. So it's good. Good to see that we get these truthful plaques up, of course. All right, folks, we're getting your calls in just a little bit. So if you're on hold, stay put. We'll be going from the top to the bottom of the list. We will also be discussing a lot more important stories that are on the way. Like I mentioned, Raw Egg Nationalist will not be joining the program. We'll go over some of the key stories. I want to make sure that you are read in. I'll give you the updates that you need. We're also waiting for the president's intelligence briefing to begin. We'll go straight there to see what's going on with Venezuela. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. It's the final days of Christmas sale going on right now. It's the mega sale, which means 60% off of some of our most popular supplements, which include methylene blue, sea moss gummies, and Shilajit gummies as well. That is 60% off right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. On top of that, though, if you subscribe, you're going to get 50% off for all of your subscriptions. Okay, so keep in mind, 50% off. That is an incredible discount that will be extended for life every month if you subscribe over at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's also right now 40% off of supplements that are included in the 60% off sale. So there's a lot of savings going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you haven't checked it out yet, make sure you do so. I challenge you to do so if you haven't done so already. There are so many incredible supplements, which I highly recommend, especially the new ones we have. Oh, here, I have it here because I just took a couple of minutes ago. The creatine gummies, The blue raspberry flavor, I can't shut up about these. These are the best right now over at thealkajonestore.com. Ladies, they don't tell you how important creatine is, but if you're someone who works out every single day or every other day, whatever it is, I don't judge, this will help. It helps with muscle aches, and that's really important. It'll also help with your energy as well as brain function. So you got to head on over right now and get yourself some creatine gummies. I take personally three gummies a day, and it tastes like candy. You can't go wrong. Head on over to thealkajonestore.com right now and make sure you grab yourself some creatine gummies.
I'm challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams, that's a daily serving per gummy, huge container of them, such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Into the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot to dive into. I've got a lot of great people on hold right now. We'll get to your calls in just a bit. In the meantime, I wanted to bring you an update on a story I've been teasing. It's a very important story. Ilhan Omar is accused of lying. And of course she did this because, well, she's all about the political theatrics. She wants to pretend like she is someone who is a victim. And so when you need that, you have to stir up a little bit of a lie. And that's what ICE is saying. ICE is saying that she's not being truthful. Ilhan Omar came out and said that her son was pulled over by ICE agents and asked to provide proof of citizenship. DHS putting out a statement saying ICE has absolutely zero record of its officers or agents pulling over Congresswoman Omar's son, with no evidence. It is shameful that the Congresswoman would level accusations to demonize ICE. It's a PR stunt. That's not just that. It's not just the DHS calling her out. Take a listen to clip 12 and how CNN started grilling her on her story. Take a listen.
You've said that federal immigration agents actually pulled over your son on Saturday and asked him to prove his citizenship. He is, of course, a U.S. citizen, as are you. The Department of Homeland Security says, and I'm quoting them, ICE has absolutely zero record of its officers or agents pulling over Congresswoman Omar's son and have accused you of seeking to, quote, demonize ICE as part of a PR stunt, their words. What do you say to that?
Well, if ICE is saying that they have documentation of every single person that they have pulled over in Minneapolis, we would love to see that record, because we've certainly, myself and the governor, have been asking them to share information with us on the ways in which they have interacted with Minnesotans, and they have not been able to provide a single information. So it is amazing that they're able to put out this statement saying definitely that they did not pull my son over when they haven't been able to answer anything else. And ICE has been known to lie when it comes to their enforcement.
See, it's interesting how she sits back and she tries to go out there and say, oh, show me proof they didn't. No, show us proof, lady. It's 2025. You're telling me your son didn't pull out his phone and start recording when this happened? You're full of garbage. In fact, we're talking about pulling out evidence. Why don't you pull out evidence that you are a U.S. citizen? Many of you guys know yesterday we did a whole segment about the allegation she's currently facing in regards to, is she a U.S. citizen? Well, no one's actually vetted Ilhan Omar. In fact, you can't. They won't let you. Oh, I reached out to Immigration Services too and asked them if they know 100% whether or not Ilhan Omar is a U.S. citizen, and they have not gotten back to me, which is deeply, deeply concerning. Because this should be an issue that's very easy to respond to. Is she a citizen? Yes, no. Tell us. Tell us. Woman's an absolute disaster. All right, let's turn to some callers right now, because I know our phone lines have been ringing. Let's turn to first one up is Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome back.
That was such a good point that you
you just made that, why didn't her son have the cell phone recording? You know, obviously he would have if that was a true story.
Yeah.
And what the pot calling kettle black. They lie while she lies to get in the country and have her brother come in. And I want to say quick on Fanny, they should have asked her when they said that he booked for 163 hours per week or 164, but I think there's only 160 hours in a week. So they should have said, wow, he's really burning the candle at both ends. He literally works more than 24 hours a day. So, and her fashion, I think with the white, she's trying to look pure, but she could have been worse. She could have been wearing a shower cap. Remember the James O'Keefe video undercover? You commented the woman was wearing a shower cap in the restaurant.
Yeah.
So that's not going to make your Melania Trump, or as don'ts, like do's and don'ts, it would. So I just wanted to say that with Fanny and Trump, that to me, that was one of his top two speeches of all time. Heroes of Canyon of Heroes, 4th of July was awesome. And I totally disagree with Alex and Joe when they're talking about, you know, regular people. Well, Trump brought inflation down. It's around 2%. It was 9% and even higher under Biden. Gas prices skyrocketed. So everything he wants is happening, yet he's complaining. So he reminds me of like a dumb Mandami voter. And it reminded me, too, like the communists, you probably know from New York City, the radio WBGI, I think the communists would have a radio show, and sometimes I would call and debate them. They were complaining that our troops were in Afghanistan, and then they were complaining that Trump was taking the troops out. It's like, wait a minute, he's doing exactly what you want. So I thought that the speech was outstanding. It reminded me of Mike Tyson defending his title and knocking out Larry Holmes. And then I totally disagree with Alex that he was saying that it was complicated. I didn't think it was I thought it was simple and straightforward, and I totally loved it. But I was worried about housing. Like, what are they going to do, Fannie and Freddie, like a community reinvestment act? So, but other than that, I totally, totally loved it. And have a great weekend, because I probably won't talk to you. And watch My Blue Heaven if you have time. It's free on YouTube.
Thanks. All right.
Rianne.
Andrew, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. Thank you for calling to the show. As always, we appreciate your insight. Let's turn to Michael. Michael in Virginia, welcome to the show.
Yes, yes. Hi. Hi, Brianna.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. Brianna, this is my second time watching your entire show since the switchover. You're amazing. This is totally, you're amazing. Just so I share that with you, to me, I find you amazing.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
Awesome. Awesome. Why I asked this question, why is there no one from that Biden administration regime gone to jail yet? First of all, if it was us, we would have gone to jail like January 6th. Many of us went to jail. And I asked this question about the woman who took the bullet in response to what I call it was a treasonous act. She took a bullet in defense similar to Crispus Attucks taking the first bullet. That event should go down in history. We should be remembered. President Trump aligning himself with the military. You know, I could see this happening. The minute they have this explosive evidence, they march into the Congress meeting, wherever these people are, and arrest them in front of everyone. The military is our government response support for our defense. And the president of the United States would have irrefutable evidence of treason or tyranny against this nation should support him in front of the people, and the cameras can see it all with evidence irrefutable. That's what happened. Now, this question I do ask, I say that China, I believe, has its hand in, it's amazing to ask, but the satellite that went over us and was blown up at the last minute, the data that was accumulated, why was it allowed? What was it? What happened? No details yet, but, you know, in a sense, it's kind of, this is like maybe a conspiracy theory thought that China's already taken over the United States slowly as it did with Hong Kong over time. Something has happened. There's some details in our infrastructure, you know, satellite communications as such, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, Michael, you did a lot there, and thank you for calling. Let me kind of highlight, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you did a great job. You did a great job, my friend. So thank you. I wanted to hit that. I was taking notes. I wanted to talk briefly too. We're waiting for RFK Jr. to come out in just a moment. Him and Dr. Oz are any second now going to begin speaking. It might be about, we think it's about, banning gender care firm, as they like to call it. Child mutilation is what the rest of us know it as. So we'll keep our eye on that. But, I want to talk about what you mentioned at the very beginning of all of this. Where are the arrests? Well, we don't know where the arrests are, Michael. And I think people like Dan Bongino are obviously getting a little frustrated, although he probably say that it's a process. The rest of us would argue probably this process is taking too long, like you mentioned, too. You made a great point. But it was the other way around. Hundreds of people were arrested quickly, very quickly, for taking unauthorized tours of the Capitol. So yeah, I think you're spot on there. Absolutely. And it's frustrating to sit back and watch, Michael. And, you know, we're going to keep being outspoken on the subject matter. You know, we're not going to sit here and just, we're fair. I mean, I would say everyone on this network is fair when it comes to their criticism regarding them, regarding this administration. So yeah, I would say it's very, very fair. And we're going to keep calling out. Michael, thank you for calling in. I appreciate your insight. And I appreciate the compliment you gave me in the open too. You know, it's refreshing, when folks call in, they are kind and they don't give me broadcasting advice. So, Michael, thank you. I appreciate it. All right. While we continue to wait for RFK Jr. to come out and begin speaking, I believe that should start any moment now. We'll go straight to him when I see that he's at the podium, of course. Let's turn to Cheese Master. Cheese Master, welcome to the show in Wisconsin. How perfect. How perfect.
Hey, how you doing this morning? I assume you saw the Trump speech last night?
We did watch it, yes. And by the way, RFK Jr. is going to begin speaking in just a couple of seconds, so I'll let you take it until he begins.
Okay. I was just wondering if you saw the numerology and astrology stuff that was going on. I'm big into that.
Oh, I didn't see
Trump was born on a lunar eclipse, so he has the unique star sign of being an eclipse moon president, and we're in a new moon phase right now. And when it's a new moon or full moon, people who have that star sign have like extra power, apparently. So it makes sense that he would do a speech like he did. And numerology wise, it was interesting. I don't know if you caught it. He did say 33 and 88. And 33, you know, the Masons lay claim to it. But it's not only for the Masons, like you can't just own a number. In numerology, they believe like 33 is like a power number for manifesting realities and creating willpower in oneself and creating realities. So maybe he's into numerology. Other leaders are like Modi in India. Billionaires like J.P. Morgan, obviously, they say like, you know, J.P. Morgan said millionaires don't believe in astrology and numerology. Billionaires do. So it's a big thing, you know. I don't know. There has been rumors that Trump is a Mason, which isn't a bad thing. The country's founded by Masons. There's good Masons and bad Masons, just like with any other group. The Japanese Tokyo Masonic Lodge on Twitter claimed Trump is a Mason. He did the apron thing at McDonald's.
Hey, Cheese Master, I just wanted to jump right now because we just saw that RFK Jr. just began speaking, and I want to make sure we bring that. So stay put. We'll be right back in a second. Let's jump over to RFK Jr. speaking right now at the podium.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you to all the officials who are joining us today, and I acknowledge many of you by name. It's a long list. A chairman of the Federal Trade Commission, Andrew Ferguson, Senator Bill Cassidy, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Senator Roger Marshall, Senator James Lankford, Congressman Doug LaMalfa, Congressman John Joyce, Congresswoman Diana Harshberger, Congressman Bob Onder, Congressman Robert Adderholt, Congressman Dan Crenshaw, Congressman Tim Walberg, Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, Deputy Secretary Jim O'Neill, Administrator Mehmet Oz, Director Jay Bhattacharya, Commissioner Marty McCary, and Admiral Brian Christine. And a special thanks to Chloe Cole for being with us today. bravely share her odyssey. Doctors assume a solemn obligation to protect children. Yet doctors across the country now provide needless and irreversible sex-rejecting procedures that violate their sacred Hippocratic oaths by endangering the very lives that they are sworn to safeguard. The American Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, peddled the lie that chemical and surgical sex-rejecting procedures could be good for children who suffer from gender dysphoria. They betrayed the estimated 300,000 American youth ages 13 to 17, conditioned to believe that sex can be changed. They betrayed their Hippocratic oath to do no harm. So-called gender-affirming care has inflicted lasting physical and psychological damage on vulnerable young people. This is not medicine, it is malpractice. We're done with junk science driven by ideological pursuits, not the well-being of children. A peer-reviewed report published by the HHS Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health last month confirms that sex-rejecting procedures impose medical dangers and lasting harm on children who receive these interventions. So today we are taking six decisive actions guided by gold standard science and the week one executive order from President Trump to protect children from chemical and surgical mutilation. This morning I signed a declaration, sex rejecting procedures are neither safe nor effective treatment for children with gender dysphoria. These procedures fail to meet professionally recognized standards of care. Medical professionals or entities providing sex-rejecting procedures to children are out of compliance with these standards of health care. This declaration is a clear directive to providers to follow the science and the overwhelming body of evidence that these procedures hurt, not help, children. Additionally, CMS is proposing two new rules. The first rule will bar hospitals that participate in Medicare and Medicaid, which is almost every hospital, from performing these dangerous and harmful procedures. The second rule prohibits the federal Medicaid dollars from funding sex-rejecting procedures on minors. The FDA is issuing warning letters to 12 manufacturers of breast binders, which are medical devices used for purposes such as assistance in recovery from cancer-related mastectomies. The FDA is telling these companies that the illegal marketing of breast binders to children for the purpose of treating gender dysphoria commits significant regulatory violations and requires swift congressional or corrective action. If the manufacturers don't comply, they could face enforcement actions, including product seizures. Furthermore, HHS is also moving to reverse the Biden administration's attempt to include gender dysphoria within the definition of disability. My uncle Ted Kennedy was the primary author of the Americans with Disabilities Act and of the 1978 amendments that strengthened the Rehabilitation Act. The Biden-era amendments that designated gender dysphoria as a disability serve the commercial interest of a predatory, multi-billion-dollar industry that betrayed the original intention of those laws and engendered widespread public resentments against those laws among the American people and discredited the statutes in the public mind. These are statutes that were designed to protect the most vulnerable Americans, and the misuse of these statutes for these purposes injures the statutes themselves and injures other people who are entitled to that protection and who Americans want to see protected. Our proposed rule will reassure recipients of HHS funding that policies preventing or limiting sex-rejecting procedures do not violate disability non-discrimination requirements. Finally, our Assistant Secretary of Health, Admiral Brian Christine, today signed a public health message to inform healthcare providers, families, and policymakers that current evidence does not support claims that puberty blockers cross-sex hormones and surgeries are safe and effective treatments for pediatric gender dysphoria. These announcements are grounded in evidence and shaped by compassion. President Trump has made child protection a national priority. The Make Our Children Healthy Again strategy demonstrates that commitment. Sex-rejecting procedures rob children of their futures. The Maha Commission strategy report calls for an end to over-medicalization of our children. Unnecessary medical interventions drive big money interests that push sex-rejecting treatments. Today's revenue for sex-rejecting drugs and surgeries in 2023 were estimated in one study to exceed $4.4 billion and on track to exceed $7.8 billion by 2030. One doctor was recorded callously describing sex-rejecting procedures as a big moneymaker. Hospitals rake in millions of dollars by convincing boys and girls that a lifetime of off-label prescriptions for estrogen and testosterone blockers, chest reconstruction surgeries, and more are the only way to achieve true happiness and belonging in life. It's wrong. The Trump administration will not stand by while ideology, misinformation, and propaganda push vulnerable young people into decisions they cannot fully understand and that they can never reverse. On my watch, HHS will stand for radical transparency and informed consent.
All right, let's step in over here that was a big, big announcement, and we're very excited to hear that. They're taking this very seriously over at HHS. You know, like I said yesterday to you guys, I sat there at Home Goods, and it was an individual who obviously was pretending to be a female. And this is someone who I think was probably a biological man. And it's just someone who just doesn't get to hear what they actually should hear. You know, we've been coddling these kids and telling them they could be whatever gender they want to be. They get hooked up on these hormones they shouldn't have in their body in the first place. And it's creating an absolute disaster. It is poisoning these children. And they have no idea. They have absolutely no idea. They pretend like this is compassionate, but this is not compassion. This is abuse. This is greed. And, you know, Cheese Master, I know before we, and it's a great name, of course, but I know before we brought RFK back on to give his speech, we put you on hold. Just, I have about a minute left. Your quick reaction to RFK Jr.'s announcement.
Yeah, I think RFK's announcement is just similar to the other stellar things that Trump has been doing, you know, with all his, it's pretty much like the red pill, Alice in Wonderland, white rabbit agenda. You know, we have the transgender stuff and LGBTQ front he was doing. The chemtrails are being talked about. The vaccines are being talked about. Israel has never been more on the radar. So many different things he's been doing, and I don't think he just gets enough credit for it. He deserves way more credit, and I think he's doing just an amazing job at what could be a president at this time. You know, and it's just going to be more stuff like this until I think he's going to ride this train until he's off the rails and just go as far as he can. And we should support him.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be bumpy. And a lot of people are going to fall victim to various strains of Trump derangement syndrome, just like COVID. But we've seen now that TDS has outlived the COVID-19 pandemic and is much more virulent. So there's going to be people on our side who are going to have issues with it as well.
Yeah. Well, Cheese Master, thank you for staying put. I know you were on hold for a little bit and you hung tight on that one. So thank you. We appreciate it. All right, folks, if you're on hold right now, stay there. We'll get into the callers in just a moment. We're in for a quick commercial break. Again, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We've got a couple more days left in that final days of Christmas. 60% off mega sale on your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our foreman and you like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all here with us today. A lot going on over here. I just got an update in regards to the Powerball. Okay, again, this isn't like a paid commercial or anything, but if you go right now to go play the Powerball, it's worth about $1.5 billion if you win. The fifth largest in the game's history. And if you just happen to win and you only knew about this because of me, I do expect a 10% cut. Feel free to send it over to me, of course. But $1.5 billion, I mean, that's where I'm going to head over to. Oh, you guys are so good. That's what I'm going to head over to right after the show. I'm going to grab myself a ticket. Hey, and if I win, We might do some big things over here. I win. Okay. So in the meantime, actually, I probably wouldn't even tell anyone if I won. You wouldn't even know it was me. You wouldn't even know. But there will be signs. There will be signs. I won't tell you which ones. Okay. If G and Giuseppe are flying private, that's one sign that you guys could just go by. Okay, so you're wondering who G and Giuseppe are. If you don't follow me on X, those are the dogs, my dogs. They live a very expensive lifestyle. I actually only work for them. I only work for them. All right. We were taking your call. There you go. It looks like they're being held hostage in this photo. But this was a dog birthday party for Giuseppe's Gotcha Day. They hated me. All right, folks, we're taking your calls right now. Let's hop on over to the lines. Savage Dog, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Brianna. Good. How are you today?
Good. No issues over here, my friend. How are you? I hope you're going to play the Powerball, by the way.
I don't like to play until it gets to $5 billion. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time. real quick before my point, you're pronouncing it wrong. It's not Ali Akbar. They're actually, and if Mac could pull up the picture, they're praising a Hawaiian restaurant called the Aloha Snack Bar. And let me tell you, man, their pot stickers are the suicide bomb for. I'm telling you.
Oh. Man.
Yeah, I know. I'm terrible. my point was about the whole Brown thing.
Yeah.
In every other, like, say, school shooting or whatever, you always have all these witnesses, these people flying out of the schools with news people there asking them questions, and they give some real good insight about, you know, to try, you know, pre-narrative. About what they saw, what they heard, and everything. Not only have we not had that, we have not even had one single person who was there in the room when it happened say a peep.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's a red flag to me. Do they have a gag order? Who's gagging them? Why? Any one of them could come out and say, yeah, that dude that you had on the picture, that was him, or that's not him. Or he said this, whatever, you know, you give all kinds of insight that they're not giving us. So that was just one head scratcher. And then the other thing is, do you realize we're now screaming for more surveillance? We don't have enough surveillance on the guy. That's the opposite way to go. I want less surveillance, even if it means one knucklehead gets away. You know, do you want them tracking you everywhere? Of course, we already have trackers in our pockets, which we still screen for the latest edition, and we can't live without. So it's just kind of I don't know if that was by accident or if it was part of it, because they can't just have one reason to do anything. Look at COVID. There's at least a dozen reasons they pulled that off.
Yeah.
You know, so now we're screaming for more surveillance. Was it by accident, or we're just that conditioned to reality TV that we want to see everything?
I mean, in regards to schools, though, I feel like schools should definitely have top security, cameras functioning, cameras working to see who's coming on and off campus. I think that's basics. And so for that, I'm okay with the surveillance. I'm not okay, obviously, with everything else that comes with it. But I know exactly what you're saying, right? Because they always use the excuse, and then they use it as an excuse to push for mass surveillance and to over-surveil and to start chipping away at our rights. And so I know where you're getting at with that, and I agree with that. But gosh, to not know who's coming in and out of your buildings, who's coming in and out of your campus, just seems insane to me. And given the fact that these shootings happen quite often now, sadly, I would say that those families are probably going to have a strong argument against the school and the university, especially given the fact, Savage, and I'll let you kind of respond to this before we take someone else, but I kind of want to hear from you on this. We're hearing that they possibly turned off the cameras given their pro-Palestinian is kind of the rumor going around. And they're not even pushing back on it, but the pro-Palestinian protesters and how aggressive they've been, it was kind of the demand so that they don't have any type of record of what's been happening with them. And then I think it's Loomer who's reporting in regards to the class that the shooter walked into might have been some type of Israel or economic class. I know they're just saying economic class, but I believe there might be some type of tie to that as to why someone from a pro-Palestinian background would be interested in going into that classroom. I'll let you take away the final 1 minute, though, of that one and let you respond.
Well, my response is Paul Joseph Watson's response. Imagine my shock. You know, oh, of course all the cameras were off. It's just, that's what they do. It's another thing we're conditioned that, you know, Epstein's cameras were turned off. The J6 bomber was turned off. Everything's turned off. Nothing works. The southern border's cameras didn't work. Oh, my God, what happened? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, well, we know now. I mean, it's just, that's just what you do. We're conditioned to say, be cool with it and go ho-hum, whatever, you know, another day, another camera gets shut off. It's, you know, we got to quit letting those slices of bread get cut off our liberty loaf. We just quit being complacent and quit saying that's cool. You know, well, ho-hum, another camera got shut off, another this, you know, more surveillance, more, you know, surveil me harder, daddy. America, wake up. Come on, man.
I know.
1776, baby. We got to get ready for the big one, because I don't really, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't. It's just, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh, we got new evidence going to the Senate. Roger that. OK, another indictment's not going to happen. I don't know. It's just we're just, like I called a couple times ago, you know, we're just numb to it. Yeah. And we gotta do something to get not numb. I don't know what, but
yeah,
things are going wrong. People are saying, oh, like that one caller, Trump, I can't stand people who criticize Trump. Are you kidding me? No. Yeah. If he's messing up, he's messing up. You better call him out. You know, if your kids are messing up, oh, they're perfect angels. They're not doing anything wrong. No, they're acting a fool, and you better whoop that ass.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just... that's the way I was raised, but then again, I'm a grumpy old man Gen Xer.
So. No, I'm with you on that these days. Apparently, I'm a grumpy woman these days. I'm okay with it. I think we should be critical of both sides. With the good, the bad, call it all out. Show both sides to an argument. Like, I'm all on board for that. The people are intelligent enough to make their own decision. If you disagree with me, disagree with me. That's fine. But call it all out fairly. All right. Well, Savage Dog, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. So thank you for calling in. Let's get to our next caller.
Hey, Blowhawk Snack Bar.
I'm going to practice that hope, just kidding, because they'll probably call the police on me for that pronunciation if I get it right, too. Let's turn to George in New Jersey. George, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna. First of all, I just got to compliment you that your command of the subject and be able to speak on things so in such an extemporaneous fashion, it's really impressive. You got a really, really excellent command of the topics of the day, without a doubt. And so congratulations on that.
Thank you, George. I appreciate that. That is very kind of you to say, so thank you.
Absolutely. You know, and then you compare, like, your presentation skills and your knowledge to the dingbats that are on network news. Well, there we go. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
But on a serious subject, on this whole H-1B visa thing, have you heard any inside word as to whether or not, you know, first you hear there's going to be $100,000 per head, then there's not, then there's going to be grandfather clause, then there's not. I mean, they let in 4 million of these people, you know, over 4 years under Biden. 250,000 plus were renewed for 2025. And this is the only area where I like kind of like parked company with the president, is that he says, we don't have the talent. I have a distribution list that somehow I got on. And what it is, it's this IT company, and all they do is circulate Indian H-1B visa people with IT experience, but not just anything. We're talking like, you know, programmers, analysts, project managers with 2, 5, 7, 17 years of experience. Don't tell me there's not an American such as myself who's basically waiting to, you know, who's on unemployment because of this situation. And it's like, you know, I'm a citizen. I serve my country, and I can't get hired because we've got 4 million people that don't belong here.
Yeah,
it's insane. It's not like I'm Albert Einstein, but don't tell me that a good job, you know, for somebody in a technical field has to go to somebody from overseas. That's just ludicrous.
Yeah. Yeah. George, if you don't mind me asking, and if you want to disclose, what field do you have experience in? What specifically position are you looking for, seeking employment for?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's in the specific areas of IT, marketing related project management, using all the special tools, cyber related security. In fact, you know, I have to switch gears now because here's the thing. I should have done this 10 years ago. The H-1B visa people can't get security clearances with the government. So I got to shift gears and get a different certification to try and, you know, beat them off at the pass. And, you know, and I'm sure there's exemptions and stuff like that, but it's unbelievable. In fact, I got to send you these emails. Like, I guess you sent it to Tips at Alex Jones or whatever. You got to see this thing. It's a distribution network for Indians to Indians only to get them jobs, H-1B visa jobs that should be going to American citizens. It's remarkable.
Yeah. Well, George, send it to me at BriannaMorello@ProtonMail.com. I'll take a look at it, too. And George, for our audience, because you said you're seeking employment, if someone is looking to hire someone of your background, how can they reach you? I don't want you to give out your number or anything, but is there an email address that they could shoot you an email over? Because it's important that we promote.
I thank you. I'll send it to you via email. But, you know, and that's the other thing, too. You can't trust any of the job. You can't trust most job recruiters because 90% of them are scams. Yeah. So you have to go with, like, the name brand organizations, you know, like the Robert Half, the Judge Group, and so on. I'm sorry to use those specific names. But when you get this nation is flooded with these fly-by-night, quote, IT recruiters, they're calling from call centers over in Kolkata and every other province in India. They're, you know, they're scamming. They're resume harvesting. And the tactic they do is that they get a resume of of an American citizen, but they say, you know, to balance out the ticket. But then they say, oh, but, you know, so-and-so from here, this H-1B, he's more or she's more qualified, but we at least we showed you an American. And that's how they do it. They bring their own friends in, and then it's like a little mafia. It's remarkable. I mean, you can go to town. You can go to Edison, New Jersey. Edison, New Jersey has been the history of Edison has been erased off the map. It is a colony of India now. 51% of the population is Indian. And I'm not saying, hey, look, they're good people. Don't get me wrong. But the thing is that when you start erasing the cultural identity of an entire town, and it's run by a you know, it's a corrupt H-1B system program. You got to be kidding me. Yeah. It's remarkable. Every gas station in New Jersey is turned Indian. Every liquor store in New Jersey is run by Indians. Every IT head is like, it's like, what is this? It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. It's amazing.
Yeah. George, you're not wrong. I live in Plano, Texas, and Plano, Texas has been completely overtaken as well. It's very unfortunate, but the last couple of years have just been a mass migration of those from foreign countries, and they're not even polite. That's the problem, too. Obviously, it's not all of them, but when I'm walking around trying to just, you know, walk down a street, because we have a lot of places we could walk around, shops you could walk around to, they don't get out of the way. They don't understand that you go to the side so that people could walk down the street with you. If you're a neighbor, you smile, you say hello, you introduce yourself, you're kind to one another. It's just something that they don't, I don't know what it is, but they just don't have that common decency, too. So it's not like all of them make nice neighbors as well. It's kind of the point I'm getting to here. And in regards to the H-1B visa program, you know, Trump coming out and obviously making a bunch of comments that I disagree with strongly, and then members of his administration saying that, no, we're actually to bring these people in to train Americans so that Americans could take these positions on in a couple of years from now. I hope that's the case. But again, I feel like that's just the PR kind of protection thing that they got going on over there. So, George, I'm with you and I hear your frustration, my friend. So I'm sorry that you're going through it. Many Americans are with you on that, too. That's a big, big one. So thank you for calling it. We appreciate you, George, as always, and your input on that issue. Let's turn to Clown Car in Coney Island. Clown Car, welcome back.
Captain Clown Car reporting for duty, ma'am. I would like to say, did you notice during that when Trump was giving away checks last night, the number of the amount?
1776.
76. That was a little weird, right?
Well, I think it's intentional.
I mean, is it a calling for the answer to 1984? Is 1776? Isn't that the wasn't that the plan? You think? You know what? I'd like to also remind everybody. It was either the second or third emergency COVID meeting at the White House where Trump, in the middle of saying, you know, COVID, we don't have a vaccine, where, you know, we don't know what to do. We're throwing our hands up in the air. And then he says out of nowhere that we have to kill Bolsonaro or Moderna or whoever the guy was in charge of Venezuela. He's like, this place is a narco-terrorism and we have to kill this guy. They sent $10 million bounty, and then they sent about 40 mercenaries over there. We watched the video on InfoWars during America Journal with Harrison Smith, and we said, you know, these guys aren't moving like our special forces, our top-notch guys. Something's wrong here. We find out later on they were kind of mercenary guys, but they were all, like, in jail or getting released from some kind of charges to go over there. And if they killed them, they killed them. If not, they got killed. Well, turns out they all got killed. Now, I'm just wondering, why were we going over there back then to take over somebody's drug trade? Because that's basically what they want to do. They want to implement all-American politics. Why are we worried, number one, about if their voting is corrupt? Our voting is corrupt. Send the military here. Go to war here. Instead of worrying about other places that we have no, there's nothing to benefit from these accusations of, oh, the Dominion comes from Venezuela. And, you know, we need the hand-in written ballot to be counted by hand. That's what we need. We need that cornstarch oil infrared, you know, secret code on the ballots. I thought that's what Trump said at first, that he had, you know, this cornstarch infrared oil. That's how we could tell which ballots are real, which ballots aren't. You remember this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, you know, I was working on Trish Regan's show, and a lot of the stuff with Maduro was on her show at the time, actually, too.
So now you think about it. Wasn't it our government that went in there and said, we're going to help them run their elections? Wasn't it our government that said, we're going to help them pick out who's going to be best to run for their country? Meanwhile, we're having our own problems here. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, once this guy got in, and I was one of the biggest guys to say, look, I don't know why everybody's back at Trump so much. He never drained the swamp. He never locked her up, and he never built the wall. You know, he was quoted as saying at one of the meetings early on that he's going to raise the wall to only 4.5 feet. And then when the reporter asked him, why are you going to only raise the wall 4.5 feet? He said, have you met a Mexican taller?
Have you?
He's a jokey guy.
I know.
He thinks he's joking with us, but we're not playing no more because this place is going to go to civil war. Nobody's paying attention to what NASA and the Department of Defense are saying about 3i Atlas and how it's going to change the residency frequency of people on Earth. We're at a normal, I believe it's, off the top of my head, I might be getting it wrong, 78.8 or something like that. And it's supposed to go 1,000 times that. So I'm not quite sure if people are going to be able to handle the mental, neurological, even the spiritual aspect of something coming between us, the sun, the moon. You know, they were saying the other day that the moon was supposed to black out for a little while. Did you know that? That the moon was supposed to, the sun was supposed to black out, and it wasn't by the moon. It wasn't a solar eclipse, and they had no real explanation as to what it was. Mm. The Department of Defense mentioned it. Trump mentioned it on Sunday at 3:47. He even gave a number out. Like, how do you know this? And if you do, when you say it, how come nobody backs it? How come nobody pays attention? What about all the floods? What about the 17 trillion gallons of water I told you about that are going to screw up parts of America? This place is better flooded. You don't even see it on the news.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep our eye on it. And I appreciate you, Clown Carr, as always, for calling in and your insight on this. So thank you, my friend. We appreciate it. Let's make sure I'm trying to get to everyone as we can. James in Indiana. James, welcome to the show.
It came out DOJ violated Trump's rights. The U.S. Attorney for Civil Rights said if any Trump supporter is targeted and rights violated, that federal employee will find themselves targeted. I think that is a great first step.
Yeah, when was this said? Because I've been waiting for this because I covered the Proud Boys lawsuit. I think what was it, like $100 million lawsuit they filed, and the DOJ last statement they made to the court was asking the court to dismiss it, and it was over having their rights violated. So when was that said? Was that recently? Was that Harmy Dillon?
That came from Fox. That was Mr. Sullivan that came on on one of the shows. I can't remember if it was
Hannity.
I can't remember if it was Hannity or one of the shows before that, but he relayed that message.
Well, I hope that's the case because here, James, I've read the court filing that came out of that case, the Proud Boys. And I mean, the DOJ claimed, I mean, this is Pam Bondi's DOJ claimed they have sovereign immunity when it comes to constitutional violations. So they're asking the judge to completely toss out their lawsuit and to just dismiss it completely. So I hope that's the case. Now, I know that President Trump also has his lawsuit pending, and there was the last rumor that they were working on a settlement north of like $200 million for his rights being violated as well, which obviously, yeah, they were violated. $200 million is a chunk of change. Will this teach future regimes not to do what they did to him? I don't know. I'd like to see them actually get prosecuted. Those individuals who are part of it get their licenses pulled to practice law. And if they're an FBI agent, I'd like to see them charged. I mean, it's just everyone was complicit in that political persecution. And so, yeah, I mean, it sounds great, James, but so far we haven't seen much. Is there something that you're seeing that you have some type of hope for? We could use some, I guess, optimism. So have you seen anything that's really given you hope?
Well, I hope that's a change. Three other quick things. I remember Dan Bongino's show. I can't remember much about his shows, but one of the biggest things he ever said was that the January 6th pipe bomber was going to be the biggest thing ever. So I think there's a complete cover-up and something's going on because the DOJ is a bunch of retards. They will sit there and target these disabled people that are on drugs all the time to fabricate cases. And two other quick things. The 1776 thing was an awesome start. I would like to see you next time you talk to the Secretary of War. These veterans that get out of the military, when they transfer into, say, federal service, they have to buy back their military time if they don't retire to make that count. That needs to stop. That'll save thousands of dollars for these veterans. And also, if anybody's doing veteran reform, Harrison covered it. There was two suicides down in Texas. There's a huge news article that needs President Trump's attention to get rid of veteran suicide. It's called Veterans Betrayed, VA Psychological Program Fueling Suicide. That needs to get out there for veteran reform. I sent that to Congress and asked for it to go to Secretary of the VA Collins, which is also doing a great job.
Repeat that title one more time for me because I'm taking notes.
Sure. It's called Veterans Betrayed, VA Psychological Program Fuel Suicide, because you had two veteran suicides in Texas out of the same VA. They are not listening to us, and if we speak out, a lot of times we are targeted and retaliated against. That needs to stop, and they need to address these veteran suicides. President Trump is amazing. That article needs to get in front of him. If he gets that article in front of him, it explains how the VA is causing these suicides, and the overdose deaths in this country are nearly twice in the VA than they are in the civilian population. This article outlines everything, and it has all kinds of resources attached to it. It is the best article. It's everything I've been saying for years on the Veterans Call-In Show. Everything's coming to light. If President Trump will look at that article, we can get this veteran suicide thing under control. It is the biggest thing out there right now.
Yeah, no, we do. We do. And, my heart's with that cause as well. So we've got it pulled up on our screen right now. Yeah, this is something that we'll look into, and I'll try to flag for the Pentagon itself. I mean, I know Pete Hegseth is obviously someone who truly does care about the issue, and he's assigned those who work with it in his administration to also make this a top priority as well. So I will echo that. So thank you, James, for calling in. And folks, everyone is on hold right now. Thank you for calling. Unfortunately, we are up against a hard out. So I appreciate you calling in. Hopefully we get to your calls sometime later, maybe probably the next week at this point. But we definitely appreciate all that have called in. In the meantime, though, as we wrap up this edition of American Journal, I want to remind you all to head on over for the final days of Christmas sale. It's going on right now. It's 60% off your favorite supplements. That includes the CMOS gummies, methylene blue, and Shilajit gummies as well. Plus, on top of all of that, too, we also have another sale, 40% off all other supplements. And when you subscribe, you get 50% off. And that is for life at discount. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and buy up. We greatly appreciate your support. As always, Alex next.
Remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported, love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets 2 days. The rest three, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like four. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off on the ultramethylene blue, on the Shilajit, on the Irish sea moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong. You know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you who have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Make the decision now. Get our ultramethylene blue. Get our Shilajit. get our bovine colostrum. It's amazing. Experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship. But I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful beacon of truth on the air, a 360 total win-win at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at InfoWarsStore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key. You're everything.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.